This is The Program with Andrew Walker and Satyar Shah on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Hands off, Jimmy! Don't touch Jimmy!
Social distancing in style from their homes and broadcasting live. Here's Andrew and Sat.
Hey, what's up? The TGIF edition of the program. Edge Walker, Satyar Shah. Bick Nizar is with us as well, and Justin Morissette back at the Sportsnet 650 Vancouver studios. Another week. I don't want to say that one flew by, because it didn't, but I don't know. Everything kind of melded in together. Like, I guess it went by quickly. I don't know. What do you think? How are you doing?
It went by faster than the other 2 weeks, but it still took a while to get to Friday. Does that make any sense?
I guess, you know what? The week, everything's thrown off. I read right. a meme today that says, you know what? Fridays have lost their razzle-dazzle, and they have. But I think this is, why do we look forward to Friday? It's because we're sick of being at work. That's the big thing, right? I mean, we like our job, but we still are happy when the weekend comes. But work, like, I'm enjoying work. Work is, like, one of the best parts of my day right now.
Well, yeah, because it's something that gives you something to do, right? Like, you prep for the show, you work towards it, you get it done, you feel a sense of accomplishment when you're done, and you can finally chill in the evening. Like, there's something that gives you purpose for the day.
Right. So the week moved by very slowly, but the work week moved by very quickly, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. So this weekend's going to feel like a week for you.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to just sit for 48 hours straight. Let's be honest. We got a busy show, though. We got lots to get to. The daily isolation check-in. We're going to check in one of our buddies coming up. We got the mailbag, the daily mailbag, 650-650 is the Subway text line. The text line, we're reading it. It's always open. We are incredibly happy and grateful that you guys have flooded the text line over the last couple of weeks. It definitely makes the show. And we're going to be doing our shout-outs as well coming up at about 6:45 tonight. Dan Murphy's going to join us as well in about half an hour. So this came down from the Vancouver Canucks today, and I got to say, I am you know me and my love for 50-50s. I am incredibly excited. This is like is the best news I've heard all day.
You can finally get back to playing 50-50. You might actually win. Now, if you actually won a 50-50.
Oh, you know what?
How would you celebrate? Would you, like, start making it rain on IG Live or something? And, like, what would you start doing?
No, the thing is, let's be honest. If I won the 50-50 right now, I'd have to donate a lot of it.
Yeah.
You have to.
So are you saying you'd rather
You'd be a pariah if you didn't.
Well, of course. So you're saying you'd rather not win it now because you may not be able to hold on to most of the money, or at least some of it?
Don't put words in my mouth. That's not what I said. So this is what's happening. I got to think of that. This is going to be the main topic of the show today, by the way. This came out from the Vancouver Canucks because Fan Appreciation Night was scheduled for tomorrow, this Saturday. And it's always a big 50-50 on that night. But the Vancouver Canucks are launching their COVID-19 50-50 relief raffle. So the Canucks for Kids Fund, the online 50-50 raffle to support COVID-19 relief. I heard on Reach Deep, they said to support COVID-19. And I want to make sure everyone knows the Canucks are not supporting the virus. They're supporting virus relief. There's a big difference there. Right.
There's a big difference.
I heard that. I was like, wow, what a contrarian. What a contrarian move by the Canucks, funding the virus.
They turned heel all of a sudden.
Wow. So starting at 12 noon tomorrow through to next Saturday at 9 p.m., you can buy your tickets, your 50-50 tickets online at canucks.com/online5050. It'll include also, no matter how big this gets, there's $40,000 from unclaimed jackpots from back in the preseason. So, anyways, that all goes together for the online 50-50, and they'll make the draw coming up next week. Tickets are same as when you go to a game: 3 for 5, 7 for 10, 50 for 20, or 150 tickets for $50. So I'm excited. It gives us something to look forward to. And yeah, I mean, if I were to win, I think people would be upset if you didn't at least make some sort of sizable donation to something.
So, it would have to be a, like, so percentage wise, I think you have to make at least like a 30% donation.
Or would you 50-50 your own 50-50?
Well, you could do that. I mean, I think that would be the best way to go about it, right? That would be the most generous way to go about it. Go 50. And, I mean, it's 50-50 already, so you're essentially giving 75% of the money to charity.
And speaking of like, if you're looking at like pure financial gain, it would be, you know, nice for your taxes to have.
You wouldn't have to pay any taxes the next year when you're filing your taxes. So you're still getting some of that back. So definitely go 50-50, and the publicity you get is awesome. The help you do to people is great. It's like the best thing to do. I think it would be better to win this now and only take half of what you would have actually won, as opposed to getting the whole 50 later on when things are okay. Because there's an opportunity here, Walker, for you to present yourself as this real generous person. And all of a sudden, you might become more attractive. You'll be one of the more eligible bachelors in Vancouver. Like, there's a lot you can gain from this here.
I want to let you in on a little secret. Me giving away my money does not make me a better catch.
I think it does. I think you can start.
Money.
You know, we can work that publicity in your favor.
But you know, I know, because I already know how this goes. Okay, so here's a little life lesson. Here's the difference between me and you, and the propaganda that gets thrown out on social media. If you donate 50% of your 50-50 winnings to COVID-19 relief, you, sir, are a hero. If I donate 50% of my 50-50 winnings, I am being criticized that I kept 50. There's the difference.
No, if that happens, the people absolutely making that criticism would forever be seen as the marks. Like, they'll forever be the marks, because they're like, because even then, they couldn't see the true value of your gesture.
But that happens already. Like, today, I don't know if you saw it today, but like Jeff Bezos like donated, I don't even know how much, like millions and millions, and already people are like, if you compare the percentage of how much money he has, that would be like you donating $20. Like, what a cheapskate. And it's like, man, he donated $100 million. Like, lay off. And
no,
that
I get that, but still, like, Jeff Bezos making $100 million donation is a fraction of his money, right? So I understand the comparison, but I'm with you. We shouldn't be shaming people for making donations. Like, take the positive. Let's not be so angry at people all the time. But I'll say this. If you are donating, say, yes, let's say you win $250,000. You donate $125,000. You're essentially giving away, like, 50% of your net worth. That's a huge gesture.
You have no idea what my net worth is.
It's close. It's not that far off.
You have a pretty good idea of my net worth. Okay. What? All right. All right. So, but like, what would be the amount? So, what if I won 250? What if the 50-50 raffle's $500,000, 500,000? So I get 250, and I donate 50. Like, does that make me a jerk?
50 out of 250?
Yeah.
That's a quarter. That's like a quarter, right? Like a little less, actually.
No, that's like, it's a fifth.
Fifth, okay.
Yeah.
So a little bit less. So fifth. I mean, that'd still be a nice gesture. I would do more. Like, you see, the thing is, going 25% seems bare minimum. You got to go at least a third.
You would do more if you were me. You wouldn't do more if you
were
you.
If I was me, I'd go 50-50. That's just because, you know, that's just how I am. You know
what I mean? Man.
No, but it has to be a third, right? Like, it can't be less than 33%. Because anything less than that seems like you're trying to give as little as you possibly can. Like, a third is a significant chunk.
Come on. 30% would be fine.
Yeah. 30% would be great. Like, I think if you do 30%, like, that's acceptable out of, like, say, $250,000. That's what, 70 grand or whatever?
Okay, but 72? The person that actually wins this thing, if they don't donate a huge chunk of cash, are we going to, like, try to smoke them out and, like, criticize them?
No, I don't think you do, but it's not as
so why do I have to do it?
Benevolent a gesture.
So just to sum this up, your suggestion is to improve my bachelor attractiveness and eligibility, I should give away all my money.
I think there is a really good opportunity for you here to win the PR war once and for all, and I think you should take advantage of it if you win the 50-50.
I think you underestimate the Canucks Twitter propaganda. But anyway, it will not stop me from buying a lot of tickets.
We have some reaction on this in our Subway text line, 650-650. Torgi and Langley, that makes you great, IMO. When it comes down to it, you're just Andrew Walker at the end of the day.
What is that supposed to mean?
It makes you great. So this one from Lee Fader Steve. So 50% to charity and 50% to my wife leaves me with zero. That's Lee Fader Steve. So he says, if I give 50% to charity, my wife takes the other 50%, I got none left.
Well, this one would be
That could be a predicament for married men, yes.
This one would be quite publicized, but I think that generally speaking, if you're just at a random, you know, pro sporting event game in the 50-50, I think every guy or girl, if they're there without their significant other, does have that plan in their head. Like, let's say they win $100,000. When you go back home, are you saying, like, hey, honey, I won $100,000? Probably not. Like, the proper move is being like, oh my goodness, I won $38,000 and here it is. It's all for you. And then, you know, then you seem like an amazing person and you can stick $62,000 in your jeans. But maybe
until she finds out you lied to her and then
maybe
it's over.
Diabolical. I don't know.
No. And then she finds out you lied. I mean, see, women usually find out eventually when you're lying. So, you know. that just seems like a really bad idea.
So I've shared this before on the air, but I do want to give, if you're hearing it for the first time, my 50-50 philosophy that I do live by. if this was like a full-time religion, I think I could open a church and convert followers and all that kind of stuff. But my belief is that, because a 50-50 inherently is not like straight up like going to play blackjack. It's not gambling because it's a charitable contribution as well.
Yeah, it's a raffle.
Yeah, it's a raffle. So my theory is that if you are diligent in doing your 50-50 purchases, like you go to a game and you're like, okay, tickets and beers and that's cost. You also got to budget out $20 or 50-50. And I'm from Saskatchewan. Like, we love 50-50s. And I know that Canucks games are setting the record for the highest. So it's not like people in BC don't. But that's always been, like, automatic, to go buy 10 or 20 bucks worth of 50-50s, and you have that ticket, and it keeps you around to the end of the game, all that. And my belief is, if you are diligent, and each and every time, I know it gets expensive, obviously, but each and every time you darken the doorway of an arena, 50-50, you're 20 bucks, you're 20 bucks, you're 20 bucks. If you are diligent, I think you get one. I think by the time your life is up, you do get one. That's my theory.
Like, so are you saying that you get one or multiple?
Well, so here's my dilemma. It's because not last summer, but the summer before,
right,
with a couple buddies in town, we won the 50-50 at the Vancouver Canadiens game. And I'm like the only guy in the history of the world that was not happy about winning the 50-50, because I'm worried that, like, that was my win. And it was good. It was like $2,500 or whatever, split three ways. But I don't want to win $2,500 split three ways. I want to win like $500,000 at the Sedin night. So,
wait, so here's the thing. Like, I understand your dilemma, and it makes sense, right? Because you only win one on average. But here's the thing. Since you've already won one already, averages don't really care about setting it straight with you. So overall, with the big picture, yes, the average is if you do it, then you might win one. But just because you've won one doesn't mean you can't win the other one, and your chances of winning the other one isn't lessened because you've already won one.
No, but I'm not
talking... Like, mathematically, odds are not any less to win it again.
Math doesn't have anything to do with religion. I'm not talking about math. I'm talking about the 50-50 gods. That's what I'm talking about. Anyway. So, the roundabout way is buy 50-50 tickets for the Canucks raffle. Bick, our producer, sends us a message. He says, let's talk about something else now. I'll tell you what, we'll reset this. Hey, I'm just trying to raise awareness for COVID-19 relief and saving money, Bick.
Yeah, I know. Like, we're trying to do good.
That's all I'm trying to do.
I'll read a couple of texts here before we get off because people are engrossed in this discussion.
I'm good for three more hours of 50-50 talk, being honest.
Duncan says to our Subway text line, 650-650, how much have you won or lost gambling, and who knows what in the last 2 weeks of no sports, too. So who knows how much money we've saved over the last little while. Leaf hater Steve, Walker only needs to message the guy who thinks he is the actor Andrew Walker. Set him straight. Go back and tip the hair and food waitresses. Tip her and say she will be flattered to have a date with J-Lo. He will win back all his props. Leaf hater Steve. I'm not sure.
That was a lot of thoughts in a row there, Leaf hater Steve.
That was good. Steve, I mean, he's just fired up. He's just giving us all his thoughts.
That was like following a dog around the dog park. I don't know. That's, it was weird. All right, so we opened the show with a couple of questions after 17 minutes of 50-50 talk, which I'm fine with, Bick. Question number one, did anything actually happen in sports today? The one thing really of note to me was the city of Calgary following, I don't know if they followed Toronto's lead, but the city of Calgary saying there's no events all the way through June. So that includes the Flames. It includes the Stampeders. There's not going to be any type of thing played in Calgary until deep, deep into the summer. At best. I mean, that also means the Calgary Stampede is all but canceled this year. But, hey, if the Calgary Flames are to make the playoffs, they're not hosting any games in July. We know that.
No, see, I've maintained, I think there's a pathway that we see games in August, perhaps September, but in no way, shape, or form are those games going to be played in cities like Calgary, Vancouver, Toronto, and they're not going to be open to the public. The only way I see sports coming back later in the summer, early fall, is if it's at a neutral site, the teams are quarantined, and they play games with no fans. That's the only way I see it happening. So this is not really a surprise to me, Walks, but it's just like if anybody had any thoughts of hockey being back in your arenas anytime soon, it's not going to happen. If anything happens, it won't be in your backyard.
I do think there's going to be a baseball season, and I do think there's eventually going to be a Canadian Football League season just because of the timeline of when the season runs. There's just no way we see hockey. There's no way. Like, we're talking about, like you just mentioned, oh, maybe we see games in September. Training camp is in September.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, if anything, it wouldn't be this season, it'd be next season. They started off earlier.
Sure, yeah. I mean, that could very well be. But, like, we are not seeing any more games. Like, 2019-2020 season, it's done, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I you know what? Let's put a percentage on it. I'd say the likelihood, like, it's not 0%, but it's, like, it's less than 10%, right? Like, it's about a 10% chance to see that happening.
And I've said this before, we've discussed it. It's not about us. It's not about Canada. It's not about Vancouver. It's not, you know, Dr. Bonnie Henry comes out, and you know, if the curve starts to lessen and we really feel good about what we're doing, none of that matters because the United States is an absolute war zone, right? Yeah. So, you know, that's what matters here. Andrew Walker, Satyar Shah. Question number two, did you do anything interesting today that you'd like to share with anybody?
Oh, I did some cleaning. I got an exercise in. I did some NFL draft research. And I made lunch, made an egg salad sandwich.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you made love. And I'm like, that is not social distancing at all. At all. It's just lunch.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I wish.
So last night after the show, I was flipping through the streaming services, and I like a lot of movies. Like, I have a lot of movies that I put on my list of favorites, and I forgot to mention this one, and it was newly added to Crave, and so it's one of my favorite movies ever, and I would suggest everyone watch it because it's terrific, and I don't think it got the press it deserved. But Prisoners with Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal.
All right.
So good. And I watched it again last night before bed. Tremendous. It's such a good movie, and it's new on the Crave streaming. So that's very exciting news.
I noticed that last night because I was flipping through Crave as well. And I'm like, yeah, I haven't seen this movie in forever. I might actually watch that this weekend.
It's very, very good. I tried to even out some of my hair, and I accidentally took another big bad chunk out. So that's not good. Yeah, not
great, Bob.
Yeah, and two more. So I got my tax return in the mail today. That was good. So yeah, that was nice.
You already did yours, hey?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I procrastinated on this stuff worse than anybody, but I got it today. Great timing. And the other thing I did with all my free time, I I researched a life insurance policy that I bought like 12 years ago, which isn't a big deal of money. But it also got me thinking about life insurance. No one likes life insurance. Like nobody in the history of life insurance has ever said, "Wow, good thing I had that life insurance." No one said that. Because when it pays off,
nobody
you're dead.
Ever said that. No.
No. Wow, I'm sure glad I had that life insurance. No, you wouldn't know because you're dead. No one has ever, like, I've just looked back at paying into this life insurance for 12 years, and I'm not happy I had it because I'm still alive. So it was a waste of money. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I get what you're saying.
The only time
now all of a sudden things are different.
No one. It's not about that. I'm just saying the only time that your life, like, you will never see your life insurance pay off. It'll, like, you'll never be like, yes, what a good gamble by me. You'll never do that because you're not around to see it, no matter what.
Right. Yes. That's generally true unless you got a family. Yes.
No, but even then, you don't get to see your family enjoying the money that you were responsible enough to.
You don't get to see it, but you should have some solace and comfort in knowing that
you
there
can't
is
have solace and
your
comfort.
Family.
You're dead. You can't.
But
have
you would
that.
Know that before. You don't think that's a good thing to do ahead of time for your family?
I'm not saying it's good, but I'm saying you never get to like feel good about it. You never get to enjoy the payoff.
No, you feel good about it before you die, and as you're on your deathbed, because you know that it's about to, something good is about to happen for your family. At least
not everybody gets to sit there on their deathbed.
I'm glad
I bought the life insurance. I'm just saying it was like it's weird. No one ever gets to enjoy their life insurance. I've had a busy day, but a lot of thoughts today. We'll go to break. Dan Murphy's coming up after 4:30, but also I think Bick stepped away for a second because when he comes back, I want to get to a really good, super happy, fun time trivia question of the day for you and Bick, and it's NBA related. If you're ready,
ooh,
yeah,
very
so,
excited.
When we come back, Andrew Walker, Satyar Shah, Sportsnet 650.
This is The Program with Andrew Walker and Satyar Shah.
When I wake up in the morning, love. It is The Program. Welcome back. It is 4:30. Andrew Walker, Satyar Shah. I believe this is Bill Withers, who passed away today at the age of 81.
Oh, I didn't see that, man. That sucks.
Lots of good songs.
Yeah, man.
What's his list here? Ain't No Sunshine, Lean On Me, Just the Two of Us.
Man.
And a lot of covers, too, right?
Legendary
songs.
Covered
his songs, yeah. Legendary. Bill Withers, 81 years old. Andrew Walker and Satyar Shah. We have Dan Murphy joining us in a few minutes. Bick, do we have you there, Bick Nizar? Is he back?
I don't think he's back yet.
How is he not back? Hey, J-Mo, how is your NBA knowledge?
Medium.
Should we wait for Bick, or do you want to do the super happy fun time trivia here? Where did he go?
Let's just do it.
Okay,
now.
Did Bick leave the house?
I think Bick went for a sandwich or something in Coquitlam. I don't know. Yeah, where is he? He can't be far.
Where's Bick? Find Bick.
All right, well, let's play the trivia music and we'll get to it.
Send us your Bick picks if you see him.
shame him. Let's play the trivia music and I'll pit Justin Morissette back at Sportsnet 650 against Satyar Shah. So this is how it's going to work. Here's your trivia question of the day, and you guys are in a little competition together. In his final season in the NBA, which was the 2002-2003 season, Michael Jordan with the Wizards averaged 20 points per game. That put him, guys, 25th overall that year in the NBA. So I want you to name as many of the top 24 scorers that you can, the guys that were ahead of Michael Jordan in 2002-2003. So here's what I want you to do. So Sat, you're going to go first. You can name one name, and if you get it, you move on. And then JMO has to name one guess, And if he's not there, you get a strike. Three strikes, and you're out. Okay. So again, 2002-2003, Michael Jordan, 20 points per game, 25th overall in the NBA. Name one of the 24 that ranked ahead of him that year.
Kobe Bryant.
He was second in NBA scoring that year with 30 points per game. So you move on. No strikes for you. J-Mo.
Allen Iverson.
Allen Iverson was third overall, 27.6 points per game. Sat, back to you.
Vince Carter.
Vince Carter. Strike one.
Oh, is that the year he sucked and he only averaged 16 points a game?
Strike one to you. I don't even know where Vince Carter is on this list. Good heavens. I can't find him. No matter what, you get a strike. So one strike for Seth. All right, so we're over to you, JMO, for your second pick. And again, you guys can't be Googling or looking at stats right now.
Tracy McGrady?
Tracy McGrady was number one at 32.1 points per game. So you got the top three guys ranked. 02-03 is the season. Sat, back to you. You have one strike.
Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade. Man, two strikes for you.
What? Wow. This makes no sense. This makes no sense. Are you doing this right?
No, yes, I'm doing it right. Points per game. I promise you I'm doing it right. I don't know. He's not there. Maybe he was injured. I don't know. But he's not there. Dwayne Wade is not there. Two strikes for you.
0203?
0203.
Oh, man. I've got the years wrong, man. Go on. Yeah.
Okay, two strikes for you. All right. You are up, J-Mo.
Not a popular name in this city, but Steve Francis?
Steve Francis is there, I'm almost sure of it. Yep, 18th overall, 21 points per game.
Oh, wow.
Sat, back to you. You got to get a name right because you have two strikes.
LeBron James.
LeBron James. When was his rookie year? LeBron James is, I don't think he's there. 0203, LeBron James is not there. Wasn't his rookie year the next year?
Maybe I got it all wrong.
Okay, I'm going to give
you... That was 0-3 or 4. That's three strikes. I'm out.
I'm going to give you a pass because we just started this game and you can't go 0-3, all right? So, listen, Sat, I need you to focus up here. 0203. Think of where you were in high school. Think of the teams that were good. I need you to refocus and start naming some NBA stars from that year. None of these bad guesses anymore. All right, so you get a forgiveness strike. Give me a name.
Dirk Nowitzki.
Dirk Nowitzki. Better. That's good. Sixth overall, 25.1 points per game. All right, Jamal.
Right, I'm going to get hot here.
All right.
Tim Duncan? Spurs were good then.
Yeah, Tim Duncan. Seventh overall, 23.3 points per game. You're a star player in that era. You're ranking in the top 25 scoring. Back to you,
Kevin Garnett.
KG, 8th overall, 23 points per game.
Name's on my mind.
What's the question here?
You're done.
You're too late. Sorry, you went to go get a sandwich. You're not a part of this.
Name's on my mind because he just made a significant donation to hospitals in New York State. Stephon Marbury, maybe?
Stephon Marbury, 12th overall, 22.3 points per game. Very good.
Allen Houston.
That's excellent by you, 11th overall. Now you're in the right era. Now you're in the right era, 22.5.
Ray Allen?
Ray Allen is 10th overall. You guys got most of the top 10. There's a couple names still in there, but he's 22.5. He was 10th overall. Sat, back to you.
Paul Pierce.
Paul Pierce, 5th overall. Nice job, 25.9.
Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd is 31st overall, so he does not count. That is one strike for you, J-Mo.
Damn.
Close, but no cigar.
Not a perfect game today.
Sharif Abdur-Rahim.
That is definitely not going to be in there. It was 26th. He finished 0.1 back of Michael Jordan that year.
Oh, so I'm out. All right.
So three strikes, you're out. Bick, we'll give you the opportunity to steal, Bick. How about that? Here was the question. Michael Jordan in his final year, 02-03 in the NBA, averaged 20 points per game. That put him 25th in the NBA. So these guys are going back and forth. One guess, can you name one of the players that finished ahead of him? They got the biggest names, but there's still quite a few left on the board.
In 02-03.
So the guys Penny? That are the guys that have no, already Penny gone, did. The guys that have, and you can't talk this out. The guys that have already gone: McGrady, Bryant, Iverson, Pierce, Nowitzki, Duncan, Garnett, Allen Houston, Marbury, and Steve Francis. Those are the guys that have gone so far.
Sprewell?
Spree was not there. That's one strike for you. Back to J-Mo. As Sad is out with his three strikes.
Shaquille O'Neal. He wasn't on the list of people that you said have already been named, right?
Fourth overall.
Awesome.
All right, he's in.
Oh, do we say Kobe?
Yes, Kobe was taken, yeah.
And 0203. Antoine Walker?
Antoine Walker was 24th. He's the next guy. That's good. So Antoine Walker is correct. J-Mo, over to you with one strike.
Dirk was on the list. How about Steve Nash?
Steve Nash is not there. No, Steve Nash is not there. He averaged 17.7 points per game, putting him 36th overall. That's two strikes. Bick, over to you, who technically aren't in the game, but still.
We get Anton Jameson?
Anton Jameson is 13th overall. Very good guess. 22.2 playing for the Golden State Warriors. All right, J-Mo, back to you. You need one to stay alive.
I don't even know if he had retired at this point. I'm going to say Karl Malone.
Karl Malone, 22nd. He was 39. He was old, but he was 22nd overall in NBA scoring.
Are we trying to get them all right now?
Well, you're going back and forth, and if you miss one, you get a strike. So Sat was over in – Sat had three strikes and four guesses, and then we forgave
I got my years wrong. I was, like, guessing guys in 3-4. I was just going off like that. Yeah.
Vince? Yeah. Do we get Vince?
Vince is not there. That was one of his strikes, actually.
Man, that era is so strange. What about Gary Payton?
Gary Payton is there, yes, 23rd overall. J-Mo, back to you. We're getting down to the...
Jalen Rose, maybe?
Excellent. Yes, excellent. Jalen Rose, 14th. You're staying in there. I'm about to call
Michael
it.
Michael Finley?
Names. Michael Finley is not there, so... We'll call it there. The guys you missed in the top 25 include C-Web, Mash, Jamal Mashburn, Stack, Jerry Stackhouse, Sean Marion, and Jermaine O'Neal, Glenn Robinson, and Ricky Davis with the Cleveland Cavaliers was 21st overall. So there's your super happy fun time trivia.
Hey, man, you gave me a wrong strike. Vince Carter was ahead of him that year. Vince Carter averaged 20.6 points per game.
Brutal.
No, he definitely did not.
He did. I'm looking at Vince Carter. 0203 averaged 20.6. Jordan averaged 20 on the dot in 0203.
I'm on basketballreference.com. 0203 NBA players.
I'm telling you,
game.
Vince Carter's 0203 season, he averaged 20.6 per game. He played 43 games that season.
43 games must not be enough to qualify. That must be it.
But he scored 20.6.
Well, but he's not on the official NBA leaders. I'm sure he averaged 20.6 points per game, but it's not on the official NBA leaders because you probably need a certain amount of games to
technicality.
Qualify. Not a technicality. That's just math. So meaning, had he averaged like 30 points per game, he could not have won the scoring title because he didn't play enough games. So that does not
No, count. I understand, but he still averaged 20 points. You see, the question was how many players averaged more? And that's what it was. Anyway.
Well, anyways. you're ruining my fun games that I make up here. Stay tuned on Monday for another edition of Super Happy Fun Time Trivia. Dan Murphy is going to join us momentarily. And one of the things we're going to kick around here is we do our what-ifs. Hey, Murph, how are you? Dan Murphy joins us right now on Sportsman 650.
I'm good, fellas. How are you guys doing today?
We are... we're okay, I guess. It's Fridays have lost their excitement, I think, but that's a small price to pay.
Well, I mean, there has to be some excitement that you're not working the next couple of days, no? That you get to sit at home and self-isolate and quarantine, you know?
Work is kind of, but we like each other. It's not like guys like you at work. Like, we kind of like the guys we work with. We have a pretty good rapport with each other. So we enjoy it.
Speak for yourself.
You know yeah, you know, I still get a lot. I don't miss them yet, but you know what? I look forward to seeing Shorthouse and Garrett again sometime soon.
Did you hear Garrett with Reach Deep?
I did not, and I'm worried. What happened?
Well, they were talking to him about food, of course, and he said, he does. They're like, you love ketchup, so you must love ketchup chips. And he says he doesn't, but what he does do, do you know what he does?
Just dips Lay's in ketchup.
Yeah, he takes salt and vinegar chips and dips them in ketchup. Like, what kind of a monster is this guy?
Really, when you think about it, that's small potatoes to dipping like good, you know. Pizza from an Italian restaurant in ketchup. I mean, that's more egregious than, you know, at least chips and ketchup is almost like chips and salsa compared to the other stuff. Like, I'm so used to it now that it really doesn't faze me. But when you really think about it and, you know, what his age is and what he continues to eat, that's what's astounding.
Like, if he ordered, like, $100, you know, Wagyu steak, would he dip that in ketchup?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes, and it's got to be cooked well. Like, there's no sense. We used to try to go to, like, one decent dinner on the road. Like Shorthouse, I'll give him that. Shorthouse will go eat a nice steak, or he'll go to nice pasta with some wine and stuff. And you can get cheese to those places as long as they have, like, flatbread or something. But there's no sense going for a nice steak dinner with him because he's not going to appreciate it. He's gonna actually ruin the steak. And he's not going to be happy. So we've kind of given that up on the road a little bit. But you can find spots where he can still be, you know, he can still look at a kid's menu and get what he wants.
Right.
What is the best meal he has ruined that you've seen?
Well, he's ruined steaks. I mean, there's no question about that. I'm trying to remember. I know that we were somewhere. We met up with a bunch of people, broadcast people, and we went to a restaurant that looked like it could be like have options for them, and we didn't look online on the menu. And I remember I'll give you the best one. The Canucks had a okay. Thanksgiving Day dinner. Okay. We were on the road somewhere and they were in a hotel and they invited us and they had everything. Like it had turkey, it had some ham, it had all the sidings, like, and it had mashed potatoes, garlic mashed potatoes, you know, charred Brussels sprouts, it had everything. Like any side you could think of, it had. He took a little bit of turkey and mashed potatoes and ketchup and ate that. And when we ultimately left, he had to go somewhere else and have a burger and fries. So he couldn't even bring himself to eat this. It was really, really good. It was a good meal at a hotel that they put together, like just for the team. And he had to go elsewhere after. I think Shorthouse went with him, and they went to Five Guys or something like that after, just so he could get something he really wanted in the stomach.
That's it's stuff like that. It's the steak stuff. It's giving me anxiety right now just thinking about someone ruining a really good steak. I'll be honest. Andrew Walker, Satyar Shah, and Dan Murphy from Sportsnet joins us right now. We've been doing these what if games, inspired by Brian Burke. We want to run something by you right now. I think JMO has the intro. Let's do it.
A lot of things have happened in sports, but what if something else happened? It's the program What Ifs.
So this is kind of Bick Nizar's brainchild, and he's on the group chat. He left again. I don't know what's going on with Bick. So Bick's question today, Murph, is, and this is inspired by kind of a Brian Burke tweet this week. What if Roberto Luongo had actually been traded to the Toronto Maple Leafs in 2012? What the butterfly effect, the dominoes? What comes to mind?
Well, first off, I think if what I heard was right, it was Kadri Gardner and two firsts. Is that what Berkey was saying the ask was? And let's not forget that this is the time where the Canucks kind of went in the tank. They got swept that year. Is that right in the playoffs?
No, that was 2012, right? So that was after they lost in five games to the Kings.
Yes. So this would have been after that, and right before the real dark period. So I think the move would have been very good for Vancouver at that point. Remember, the Canucks were certainly happy with Corey Schneider, and he still, despite what happened now, he still went on to have a few more elite seasons with Jersey. You get two firsts. Now, maybe the Leafs aren't as bad, because I think they missed the playoffs for a couple years right after that, too. So maybe you aren't getting lottery picks, but maybe you are. Maybe Luongo's not doing it all by himself. Kadri hadn't broken out yet, I don't think. That was before the lockout season, right? So I don't think he'd had I think the lockout season might have been his breakout season. I think the trade would have been very, very good for Vancouver, and I think the fans in Vancouver would have been quite happy with it, and that's just what I'm saying. And then those years, the Willie Desjardins years and the Torts year, perhaps you don't have Torts, and maybe you don't have Willie Desjardins. Maybe the Canucks do something in that, and with AV still around, but who knows. As for the Leafs, they would have had the goaltender they needed. Reimer had one good year and then fell off the map. I hate to say the what if is I think the trade might have been decent for both teams, but looking at it now, that would have been a pretty steep price to pay for Toronto, certainly.
Well, and the other thing about that whole trade, too, was if that would have gone down, the Canucks don't trade Schneider the next year, and they're not getting Bo Horvat. So you probably don't have Bo Horvat as a Canuck right now. And hey, and maybe you're now too worried about it if Kadri, you know, becomes the player he is.
Yeah, and you don't have Jacob Markstrom. I mean, that's the other thing you don't have at this point. But as mentioned, you did. I mean, Schneider did have a few more really good seasons. It's so strange to think about because you really don't know. A lot of it is what Luongo can do for the Leafs, because if he can't drag them to the playoffs one of those two or three seasons, and the Canucks are getting a couple of lottery picks along with their own first-round picks, assuming they're not trading them away to try to do something in the playoffs, it'd be so fun to be able to go back and run it in some simulator to see what people would think would happen, the smart folks. But, I mean, man, that would be a... That would have been, I think that would have been a pretty good trade for Vancouver, considering, just remember how crazy it was with Schneider and Luongo back in the same dressing room and then the different rules that were, incorporated by PR just so one guy wouldn't have to answer questions on the day he's not starting, so he wouldn't have to be saying why he wasn't starting that day. It was just a real, real bizarre time in which both goaltenders seemed to handle it super well.
Well, and you wonder, too, how it affects things for the Toronto Maple Leafs, because you're right, the lockout season, they got into the playoffs, and it was Kadri's breakout year, and after that, it was a very quick, even the next year, they went out and they did the Clarkson and the Bernier and the Bowl, and they wouldn't have gone to get Jonathan Bernier. But you wonder, does Luongo give them a better direction or a better chart that they end up not exactly bottoming out like they did with the Shanna plan and a few years later getting Austin Matthews when they did.
Yeah, probably. I mean, they might not be as good a shape as they are now if they would have gone down that road because Luongo was still a very good goaltender. And when he was traded to Vancouver, and I know this was 5 years after that, but, he was single-handedly the reason they made the playoffs that year. That I think AV won Coach of the Year. So assuming that Luongo was still going to be playing at a fairly close to elite level, then the Leafs are looking far different now. And I think where they are right now, they have their flaws, but they certainly have some of the top end talent in the league. And I don't think they're finishing last overall to get Austin Matthews.
No, they probably don't. And on the flip side, like maybe for Vancouver, maybe that extends the window an extra year or two, right? Like, let's say Kadri comes in and Gardner, and let's say they only get one of the picks or none of the picks, just get Kadri and Gardner. Like, all of a sudden, you replace one of your aging defensemen with a guy like Gardner. You add Kadri, who comes into his own, and, you make it clear that it's Schneider. You go through his prime in Vancouver. Like, maybe that window opens up again for a year or two for that Canucks team, and Kessler maybe never asks out, and they have that last hurrah, perhaps.
Yeah, and even if Kessler does ask out at that point, then perhaps you're sliding Kadri into that second-line role, because he certainly was – he had one or two seasons there. He was very, very good and getting some, you know, almost Selke consideration in terms of his two-way play. And so maybe you even do move Kessler still if he's still whining and he doesn't think the window's open. But as we know, the reason that he says he wanted to leave is because the team was not going to win anymore. So all of a sudden, if you have Henrik and Kessler and Kadri, I think certainly the window remains open a bit more. I don't know if they're a cup contender, but I don't think that they're, you know, I don't think they're missing the playoffs the way they did. And I don't think that they're struggling as much as they did against some of the elite teams because, let's be honest, Kadri is still a very good player, and Kessler was still a very good player for two, three seasons after he went to Anaheim before the injuries caught up.
Dan Murphy joins us. One of the things we've been kicking around a little bit, Murph, and I'll ask you. I don't think we've asked you to comment on this, but you know, you're a family man with a, you know, a young family and all that. Put yourself in the shoes of an NHL player right now that's going into free agency with everything going on. How do you think free agency and kind of the human decisions get affected?
Well, and yeah, and I think that if you take it one step further, a guy like Josh Levo, right, who's going to be an unrestricted free agent as well, that didn't get to play more than half a season. These guys are going to have to probably accept bargain basement prices, whereas if Levo would have stayed healthy, I think that he's commanding a lot more than what he's going to get. You know, the cap, what's it going to be at? Is it going to be the same as this year? Like, we don't know. Like, could it drop? So, you know, these would be really tough times. I'm sure agents are getting tons of phone calls. And if they still believe, which I don't think it's going to happen, but if they still believe they're going to get some sort of season, and does free agency get pushed back until, you know, what, July 31st, August 15th? I mean, I don't know. All these kind of things are so bizarre. I would love to see the, you know, kind of the direction and all of these different scenarios the league has for different start dates and such. And more importantly, what they have for if the season is ultimately canceled and they can't award the Stanley Cup, et cetera, how things are going to play out. But it's going to be one of those times, kind of after the lockout years, where you're going to be paying the elite guys and you're going to have the haves and the have-nots because some of these free agents are probably deserve to be paid. The unrestricted free agents, they're not going to get the bumps that they thought they were going to have.
He is Dan Murphy from Sportsnet. Enjoy your. I saw you're doing some social distancing wine visits, and
yeah, I got heat for that too. And if people only knew, like, for goodness sakes, we're washing like cereal boxes in this home. For goodness sake, you know, like I wasn't than I don't like to be within 30 feet away anyway, so I was safe that way. I brought wipes. I brought my own glass. You know, and anyway, I guess I can't win, so I got to stay away from Ray. So. I guess that'll be fine, but yeah, it was nice to at least to see someone other than my family because 3 weeks in, I kind of feel like I need some social distancing from the family a little bit.
Oh, yeah, well, hey, yeah. That's your own fault, Dan. I didn't ever think I'd get to flex on this, but it's just amazing being childless and alone right now.
Yeah, but you know what, Wax?
What?
I'm not going to social distance from the dog.
You don't have to.
Oh, see, that's a thing.
No, yeah, dogs right. Can't carry it.
Peach.
No. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, have a great weekend.
All right, God bless. Okay. You guys, me too, and we'll talk to you soon.
See you later. Dan Murphy, Sportsnet Canucks host. We got to go to break. We're going to visit with Israel Fair in our 5 o'clock hour as well. And the isolation mailbag is coming up as well. 650-650 is the Subway text line. Sportsnet 650.
Welcome to the program with Andrew Walker and Satyar Shah.
Andrew Walker, Satyar Shah, it is our 5 o'clock hour, 5:04 on your Friday. It is the program, Sportsnet 650. 650-650 is the Subway text line. The daily isolation mailbag, which we have a lot of fun with, is coming up before the end of the show. So get your questions in, sports, non-sports. Make them as ridiculous as you want. And also, our shout-outs at the end of the show. If you know somebody that needs to get a little love for the sacrifice they're making, or maybe they're a frontline healthcare worker, text in their name, a little bit about the story, and we will give them a shout-out here on Sportsnet 650 before the end of the show, and of course before all of Vancouver applauds at 7 p.m., which has become tradition. Andrew Walker, Satyar Shah, the Subway text line, as mentioned, is open. Text in, unsigned, any info on the Keandre Miller incident. Did you see this today, Sat?
Yeah, I saw that. That was absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, real
It was
bad.
Over a chat they were having on Zoom, and they were having, like, he was having a live feed, and fans could interact, and somebody kept throwing the N-word into the chat, which was visible to everybody to see. It was absolutely horrific.
Yeah, it was so the Rangers were kind of, you know, doing the introduction, so to speak, and the NHL released a statement that said, hey, like, you know, obviously someone infiltrated this chat, and it's just unacceptable and all of that. And so they're going to try to make steps, and Zoom is as well, to make sure that type of thing can't happen. But, pretty ridiculous.
I hope they can track down that IP address and, you know. Yeah, I mean, the things people like that, the things I'd like to be able to do to people like that is one thing, but hopefully the authorities can take care of it. It's just, I mean, as much, like, there's so many things going on in the world, and that's going to be your reaction. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, how sick do you have to be to do that all of a sudden in the middle of all this?
Yeah, pretty sick, man. I know that. Israel Fair is going to join us in a few minutes from The Athletic Vancouver. We haven't talked to him in a few weeks. By the way, if you are looking for any information on COVID-19, everything that's happening, and everything is happening daily, we know that. But News 1130, our sister station, number one for breaking news, traffic, and weather. Tune in to get the latest updates on the coronavirus, or visit news1130.com. And just a reminder, we touched on this off the top of the show. The Vancouver Canucks announcing today an initiative. The 50-50 is back, and it's going to go in support of coronavirus relief. And it opens up. You can go online to the website to purchase your 50-50 tickets province-wide, and it'll open up tomorrow and run through next Saturday. So that's pretty fun. If you're as big a fan of 50-50s as I am, and of course it all goes to a good cause.
Yeah, and even if you don't win, I mean, you know your money's going to a good cause. It's a good way to gamble in the middle of all this right now. Like, if you have disposable income, you want to have a little bit of fun, it works. Go ahead.
Yeah, we haven't needed it. We haven't gambled on a game in weeks, Sat.
I know. You know, people can now gamble on, you know, the NBA players are going head-to-head in NBA 2K. Apparently, you can gamble on who wins which matchup.
I did not know that, and I did not know that NBA players were playing video games against each other.
Yeah, they're going head-to-head against each other, playing like a 2K tournament. So, I mean, I don't know like how starved you are for live betting, but, you know, there could be an avenue that opens up there for you.
Yeah, sure. I'm not that starved. I've never liked well, that's not true. I was going to say, like, even like the horse track or something like that. It's fun, but you're not making your bets with any level of education, per se.
Like, oh, you're going by on horse name, right? Like, the only way you have an educated guess is if you know somebody who gave you some inside info. But it's not like you're standing there watching the horse going, you know, that one looks athletic to me. I really feel good about this one. He's been rested the last time you ran the furlong. You ran it at this pace. Like, you have no idea. You're gambling blind. You got no idea.
And that's why we like football so much. Hockey's so random. That's why you like football, because you do the work and you put in the research and you make your bet and you say, I think that this is the right bet. I think that this team is going to win. You can't bet on a horse and being like, I think that horse is going to win. You have no idea. At least I don't have any idea.
No, neither do I. I mean, there are people that know. I am not one of those people. Like, if I ever make a bet on a horse track, no, it's 100% blind, or I took somebody's advice.
Yes, exactly. Israel Fair joins us from The Athletic Vancouver here on the program, Sportsnet 650. How you doing, Izzy?
Good to be with you guys. How are you guys holding up?
We are so great. We are great. I'm good. I'm doing okay. All things considered, I'm pretty fortunate to be kind of, I don't know, introverted anyway, I guess, and still work. And I can't speak for Sat, but there are a lot of people in worse setups than me, so I'm okay. How are you doing?
Good. Yeah, I'm used to the isolation life as an editor, sitting around waiting for people to file stories. So it's been an interesting little while, but good to be on with you guys and talk some sports.
Cursing out Harm and his deadlines and all that.
That's a daily occurrence.
Yeah. What? Go ahead, Seth.
I'll say, like, how creative do you have to be right now? And, like, how creative does your group have to be? Like, I see, like, creating fantasy teams and projecting them going head-to-head. Like, the level of creativity needed right now is something else.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting insight into that creative process, the way that we don't have games to talk about and to produce content out of. So it's trying to spin something off of something that obviously in normal times we love to discuss and to watch and to consume. And so there's the fantasy drafts. I know that the team over at The Athletic, and it's not just here in Vancouver, really across the board, have been spending a lot of time brainstorming ideas. I know that this week, for example, they've been running a series about best sports movies, which I know has been a topic of conversation on your station as well. And next week, there's going to be a bunch of essays about people's favorite players they have connection points, whether it's from when they were kids or something that they appreciate as a reporter covering the players, being around a certain player or coach or whatever. And so it has produced a different type of content during this time where people are maybe looking for something to divert their attention for a few moments from what's going on out in the real world.
He is Israel Fair from The Athletic Vancouver. He joins us here on Sportsnet 650. How do you, I mean, let's say sports comes back in, you know, September, October. Let's say that it's going to be a summer devoid of sports. Do you think anything changes with the way that we consume it, Izzy?
That's a really good question, Wax. And it's, I think, going to have an impact, not just in arena, which is obvious. I think when we're looking at that scenario, and let's say it is that timeline that you've laid out, it's the fall and there's the opportunity for people to go to a sporting event again. The precautions, I think, are going to be top of mind for people. It's going to be another layer for leagues and for organizations to take into account mass gatherings. And is there a way to structure a stadium, structure an arena, to make sure and maintain some sort of higher level of health precautions? And I think the way that people are consuming media right now from a television perspective, and whether it's airing classic games or some of the discussions that have been on TV or on the radio, are going to inform sort of what the mass audience might be looking for from a broadcast. I know just with hockey specifically, the way that the game has been broadcast hasn't changed a lot over the last little while. I was with a lot of people last weekend watching that Canucks Flames game and of course the Canucks Blackhawks game as well. And, you know, we're talking about 15 years for that Canucks Flames game. And sure, the graphics are a little bit better and then we've got HD now, but the way that the game and the stories are being told are quite similar. And I think that now we've kind of been forced into a spot where we might have to give a little bit more thought and we have the time to do so about, what's the best way to consume this and how do people want these stories to be told?
And obviously, I think when sports do come back, it's going to be like a TV-only type of event. And I wonder even from the TV aspect, like how many innovations we might see. Because if the new norm for the greater population will be to just watch it at home and, you know, it might take some time for the bars to get going, that individual viewing experience has to evolve to some degree. And I do kind of, in the utopian mind of myself right now, kind of think of, they must be putting their smartest people in a room and saying, okay, let's be proactive. Let's come up with ideas. Let's use this time to brainstorm and push the envelope and do something different. Like, I want to see when sports come back, they have new and creative ways to bring that to us on TV, for instance, too.
Yeah, I think that would be ideal. It gives us something to work on and look forward to as we mostly stay isolated, stay in our homes and are consuming content. And it's not just sports. It's going to, I think, have an impact on the networks. It's going to have an impact on some of these streaming services, because we were headed in that direction anyway. Would streaming services get involved with airing live sports? And I know that we've seen it a little bit in the NFL, where I think some of the London games were available, whether it was through Amazon or some of the other streaming services. Could you imagine if Netflix decided they wanted to get in the game and try to up that that antsy when it comes to streaming live sports. And I think if the internet and, you know, considering the number of people that are streaming stuff right now, if the internet's able to hold up with all of that activity, then it should be able to handle a pretty clear broadcast. And we have seen it in this country to some extent with DAZN taking over Premier League rights. And that's changed the game to some extent as well. And I do think, to your point, Sat, that it's going to continue down that road, and that people are going to have maybe an even more specific way that they want to consume sports on TV, and that it's going to be a challenge. I think a fun challenge for the most part. It's not something like we need to reinvent the wheel, but there might be a little of changes here and there that will make it even more fun to be a sports fan.
Do you, we talked about this yesterday. You probably saw the Twitter thread. Do you remember the first games you went to in the respective four sports?
Yeah, I do. The first was a Grizzlies game. I went to a Grizzlies game in 1999, and they won, which was a huge shock.
Wow.
And then there would have been a Canucks game, a Canucks Flames game the year after. So I guess it would have also been 99, but the next season. And my first Major League Baseball game was in Montreal. I saw Vlad Guerrero hit a home run, and so that was fairly memorable. And my first NFL game was a Seahawks-Chargers game in 2010, and the Seahawks won, even though I believe Philip Rivers had nearly 500 yards. But Leon Washington had two kick return touchdowns to really, yeah. So like Phil Rivers was on the field the whole game, was unbelievable. In the 400 plus yards, and the Seahawks won because of kick returns, which is something we don't really see anymore with all the rules and the way that the football has changed. We don't get that dynamic kind of game changing play. And that was around the time that Devin Hester was such a phenomenon as well. With, I think he had eight kick return touchdowns in 1 year. That's deciding games right there. So that was also a pretty memorable game as well. So I've been pretty fortunate with my first games.
With your first introductions, Dante Hall would have been around there as well. He was a terror for a little while returning kicks. And your guy, Josh Cribbs.
Joshua Cribbs. I mean, Dante Hall, Josh Cribbs, and Devin Hester. I mean, those were like the guys for a good 10-year period.
David Putney.
Listen, he's the key to the deal, man. You gotta get David Putney.
That's true.
Now, Izzy, there's
just
one
because,
thing.
Just because you feel like it, you damn well feel like it.
One thing I did want to throw by you, and something that Walker and I were going to kick around a little bit, you saw James Paxton went through surgery, and he says if baseball comes back, he hopes to play. The question I have, though, is do you think it's more likely we see James Paxton be healthy and baseball comes back and he plays the season for the Yankees, or is the next time he plays as a Blue Jay?
I mean, that's something that would be very intriguing and exciting for Blue Jays fans. I mean, Walks just brought it up with that September, October timeline for sports. And that's where I am realistically about kind of where we're going to have an opportunity to come back, whether that means that fans are involved or not. We'll probably find out in the next month or so if that's going to be possible, but it's going to be the baseball situation with Paxton. And I mean, I look at Mookie Betts as well, because I remember being on a round table with you guys, and it seems like ages ago, but it was just a couple months ago. And Sat and I were pretty fired up about the Mookie Betts trade to the Dodgers. It would be pretty crazy if I understand the Dodgers made that trade looking to sign Mookie Betts long term, but it would be possible that this season gets wiped out. The Dodgers didn't give up all that much, at least that's the way that we feel about it now. But if he didn't play a game for them, that would be something. And the pitching stuff is fascinating, right? We saw a couple of guys, Noah Syndergaard in particular, decide to have Tommy John now. Was that something that was a decision made because, look, if the season's going to be played and best case scenario, it's going to be a half a season, is it better to get all of that fixed up now. Paxton's had his injury issues as well. And when he's been healthy the last 4 or 5 years, he's been really good. And he'd be worth a big-time contract for a team like the Blue Jays. They just shelled out for Ryu, who's also battled injuries but was coming off of his best year in the big leagues. So that would be something. And I do think that the Paxton thing with the Blue Jays and maybe some of the resentments from when he was originally drafted, those people aren't involved with the franchise on a day-to-day basis anymore. And if they made the best offer, I mean, that would be something cool. And for him to be a Canadian guy pitching for that franchise is something that I think is definitely on the table.
I can just hear Randeep crying into his bowl of cereal already, or whatever he's...
Well, it does seem more likely, though, that the Jays would go after the Paxton type. Because, I mean, he's a good pitcher, but he kind of falls into the Hinjin Ryu kind of caliber, yeah. Right? Like, he's not going to command $200 million to $300 million like, you know, Cole Garrett and the other top guys. Like, he kind of falls into the Ryu category. Same age range to his, has some injury problems, good pitcher, above average, but there is some risk. Like, it fits the MO, and remove the Canadian thing. It just kind of fits the MO of the type of guy they'd go after.
Yeah, I think so. And that's really where they've... This front office has found itself, even if it's going and signing Jay Happ ahead of the 2016 season, a guy that, if he's on, is going to give you quite a few innings, is going to give you a pretty good ERA, and is going to be able to have 5 or 6 really good games. And Paxton's track record is higher than that. He's a guy that has had 16 strikeout games. He's obviously got the no-hitter that he pitched in Toronto, and he had some really, really good stretches for the Yankees last year. And that is going to be, I think, from kind of a broader perspective of how teams are approaching pitching. Yes, the top guys, whether it's Verlander or Scherzer or Gerrit Cole, you know what you get, but it's going to cost you a heck of a lot. And we saw the Greinke contract and the Price contract fairly recently work out to some extent, but not a slam dunk. And if there's going to be an opportunity to get a player like Paxton for half or just over a third of what it would cost you to get a guy like David Price, who signed for over $200 million, then you're going to get similar production, if not better production. It does seem like a pretty reasonable bet, and it does look like the Blue Jays and their view of pitching lines up with your thinking, Zach.
He is Israel Fair from The Athletic Vancouver. What are you, before we go, what are you watching? What are your plans this weekend, your exciting isolation plans?
Yeah, definitely going to be doing some TV watching, probably some old games. I watched the Seahawks Super Bowl win over Denver last night that was on NFL Network while
great,
you guys were on
game.
The air.
Great game.
It was, as a Seahawks fan, a fun one to relive, and just remembering that defense that, I mean, it wasn't all that long ago, but watching the entire defense at work, it was still just something beautiful to watch. They really kind of brought an art to something that is a bit of a violent game, but they did it so gracefully. And sounds crazy to say, but a defense that had Cam Chancellor hitting Demaryius Thomas and him flying 5 yards back from the line of scrimmage.
He is Israel Fair, The Athletic Vancouver. Hey, thanks for this, man. Stay safe. We'll talk to you soon.
You too, boys. Always good to catch up. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Izzy. Israel Fair from The Athletic Vancouver. Andrew Walker and Sat Shaw. Still to come, we're going to check in with one of our coworkers because we are good like that. We are nice humans. And also, when we come back, this was, I tweeted about it today because ESPN threw up one of those, hey, who would you take kind of discussions. So think about this in the commercial break. ESPN asked this question today. Who would win in a best of 7 series? A team with Magic, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Hakeem Olajuwon? Or Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Shaq, and Tim Duncan. Best of 7. We'll get into that conversation with Bick Nizar as well when we come back. It is the program, Sportsnet 650. Oh.
Now more of the program with Andrew Walker and Satyar Shah.
Welcome back. It is 5:32. Happy Friday, Andrew Walker, Satyar Shah. And Bick Nazar, our producer, is on the line as well. And if he's around, are you there, Bick? He's gone again.
See that dramatic pause?
Oh, he is
there.
Admit,
that was pretty good.
You messed up. You had your mic on mute and took your second to unmute it. That's what happened. I could hear it.
Facts only.
And he's like trying to sell the dramatic pause.
I was definitely talking, and I was like, why is any of this working?
I could tell.
And Justin Morissette as well is back at Sportsnet 650. JMO is kind of the only one that gets to look forward to a weekend because like things actually change for him. He doesn't have to go into the radio station, make sure we're on the air. So this was posed, Sat and Bick, this was posed on Twitter today, and to be honest, everyone just fights about it. That's the only thing people do, but online. But ESPN asked this question: yeah. Best of seven, who wins in a series? Team one, which is the throwback team, Magic, Larry Bird, Jordan, Kareem, and Hakeem Olajuwon, or more the new school team, Dwayne Wade, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Shaq, and Duncan. I put actually way too much thought into this than someone should to a hypothetical situation. And I'll admit that I didn't want to pick the new school team because I just think anybody that's semi-young, you're like, oh, like LeBron, Kobe, blah, blah, blah. I just picked the younger team without properly appreciating what the other guys are. But in this case, I actually do think that's the right pick. What about you guys?
See, like, this one has been really hard for me, too. Honestly, like, I've been thinking about this all day since I saw it, and I've gone back and forth a few different times. And, like, how is the game officiated? That's one thing I was thinking about. I just figured, okay, let's just say neutral. It's a mix between how the game is officiated now and how the game was officiated when those guys played. And as much as I kind of kept going back to it's Shaq, it's Kobe, it's LeBron, it's Duncan and Wade over those guys, I just think with Hakeem, with Kareem, their defense, their ability to shoot as big men, and the fact that they would just hack a Shaq down to a prolific free throw shooter and he'd miss over half of them. I honestly, like, I've come around. I think the old school guys win.
Well, I also look at, not that Kobe and LeBron and Wade, not that they're, you know, the Splash Brothers or anything like that, but this team can shoot threes, and the game today is all threes. And, like, there's a lot of misinformation. People are like, oh, Michael Jordan shot threes. You know what's crazy? No, he didn't.
Oh, Michael he didn't shoot a ton of threes. Michael Jordan shoot threes really well?
Nobody on the top team. Like, nobody. Even Larry Bird. And we all remember that thing from the three-point shooting contest of him filling it up. Larry Bird didn't even shoot threes, barely. Like,
well,
he didn't shoot
threes as much as people shoot now. But for his time, he shot enough threes. Like, he attempted it. Like, at the peak, he did attempt, like, a few per game. So,
Not even, man. Larry Bird, for his career, shot, like 2 3-pointers a game max.
Yeah, like he shot 2 per game.
Michael Jordan is the greatest scorer in NBA history, and he made in his career about the same amount of 3-pointers as Steph Curry made in his one record-setting year. Michael Jordan,
well, true.
Michael Jordan did not shoot 3-pointers, and even when he did, he shot them at a 32% rate. Magic Johnson didn't shoot 3-pointers. Larry Bird didn't shoot 3-pointers.
But Wade, LeBron, and Kobe were decent three-point shooters, not like incredible three-point shooters. All those guys kind of shot it in the 30% range. So how big of an advantage is it? And those guys, I mean, Larry and Jordan and Magic, those guys could score inside whenever they wanted. Like the size advantage for those guys, like just being able to have Hakeem. And people forget how good Hakeem Olajuwon was. I think people remember Hakeem when he played for the Raptors towards the end. Him at his in his prime for the Rockets.
He was like
Joel Embiid, more athletic.
Yeah. No, Hakeem was great. And Hakeem was also a guy that led, the league in scoring and also won, you know, the defensive MVP. MJ did the same thing. But players have also gotten, like, if you're looking at physical freaks
And you're right. The one, you know, chink in Shaq's armor was the hack-a-Shaq thing. But in terms of, like, physically dominant, there was a lot of times you could not do anything against Shaq, and there were a lot of times where you cannot do anything against LeBron. And, like, these are all great players, but I don't think physically that you can match up with those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I don't think anybody could. But the thing is, Magic could at least get in front of LeBron a little bit. I mean, Magic was 6'9". Like, people don't forget, and he was athletic for his size. Towards the end of his career, was taking a few three-pointers per game as well. Like, Magic was ahead of his time, too, as a player. I think he could at least body LeBron a little bit, get in his way. And between Hakeem and Kareem, at least to make life difficult on Shaq. Duncan's the guy that's... That at the same, as much as I'm like, okay, like he's the one player that we're not accounting for, he'd also take such a supporting role next to those guys, would be really good defensively. But I still give the edge to prime Hakeem, having Kareem, and also having Magic, having that length and those three guys, how good they were defensively. And don't forget, Jordan in his prime was one of the best defenders in the league as well. Like, defensively, those guys would be dogs.
Yeah, and we're not talking about Tim Duncan at all. We're not talking about Kareem. The only guy that kind of doesn't make sense on this list is Dwayne Wade, who is still a great player. But
yeah, who would you put instead of Dwayne Wade through that era on that team? Like, Dwayne's pretty good. Like, he did win two titles, right? But who would you put ahead of him? Like, would you put? I put Steph there. Honestly, that's who they should have put.
Or KD. KD was a matchup nightmare.
KD or Steph. Yeah, I think if you put KD or Steph instead of Dwayne. Yeah.
Bick, do you? And again, no one is going to be proven right on this. Bick, do you have a horse in the race?
Well, I was waiting for someone to mention Tim Duncan, how important he would be to this team.
Well, I did mention how.
No, it took a while. Yeah. It's as if he was treated as the 10th best guy on the court, and realistically, yeah. I think he's like the 5th or the 6th best player on the court. You know, I'm a big fundamentals guy, man. He would have everyone in the right spots defensively. Sure, you got Hakeem, you got Kareem, but what Duncan would do, you know, facilitating everyone from the back end, I think, like, that's the tipping point for me is how good Tim Duncan is.
Here's another hot take. This isn't a take. I'm not answering my own question, but I'm asking you guys the question. As much as I love watching the tapes, I know that Hakeem translates. I know that Kareem translates. Magic, obviously, and MJ, obviously. Does Larry Bird translate?
Dude, Larry Bird does translate, and I've gone back.
There's been
to
a lot of
Larry
Bird slander the last couple of weeks here.
Yeah, dude, and if you go back and watch Larry,
what other Larry Bird slander?
No, I think it was last week or the week before. I think we were talking about best Boston athletes or whatever, and both of you just instantly were like, "Oh yeah, Bill Russell over Larry Bird," and we're up against the clock.
No. I said Larry Bird.
I said Bill Russell.
Then Russell came up, and I'm like, "Ah, that's tough." But I went with Larry Bird as my first instinct.
Bill Russell is like 13 championships. Come on.
No, I know, but don't forget, like, that was also when
different era too.
Teams in the league, and the Celtics won every single year, pretty much.
You're too busy standing for George Mikan.
George Mikan. No, but I think Bick's right, though, about Larry Bird. Because if you go back and watch Larry, like, Larry would school some of the most athletic guys in the league. Like, remember that Jason Williams' book, Loose Balls? And, you know, obviously the guy had a few things loose because he ended up shooting his limo driver. But regardless, he had some really good stories. And he had stories about how Larry Bird would just kill the toughest guys in the league, man. Like, the best defenders, he just, like, make them into a puddle of goo by the end. Because he was so confident, he'd step up in their faces, he played hard, he was deceptively athletic. I think Larry Bird would hold up.
He played left-handed for fun.
Dude, he was insane.
Against who? Against whom?
What do you mean? Like, they were beating, like, Isaiah Thomas and the Pistons in those teams, man.
Yeah, I love Larry Bird. I'm just wondering if there's one guy that gets a little left behind in this matchup. I say it's him. That's just that's just my
6'9" could shoot over anybody he wanted to? Come on. No.
The interesting part of these two teams is the better passers are all on the old team. Because you got Bird, you got Magic.
Yeah.
And you got Hakeem. So, you know, who's facilitating the ball on the younger team? It's LeBron.
Yeah. And you're not wrong, because all these guys with the exception maybe of Duncan, all these guys want the ball in their hands. It's like, get out of my way.
Yeah. Well, LeBron is a great passer. Kobe is probably an underrated passer we don't talk enough about. But the second best passer on that team is probably Duncan.
Yeah. No, it is probably Tim Duncan. And if you look at how good Kareem was as a passer out of the block, and Hakeem was like, I mean, remember Sabonis? Like, that was how good as he was, too, right? I mean, Hakeem and Sabonis during the 90s were the two best big men that could pass the ball. I mean, and I think, like, bully ball, if it comes into that, let's say it's house rules and they're playing house rules, the old school guys win.
Yeah. Well, Jordan wins.
House rule? I don't know, man.
Yeah, house rules, the old school guys win, man.
LeBron
punches teammates, man. He's taking people out in this game.
And I'm a Kobe fan. Like, I love Kobe.
And LeBron and Shaq are I mean, those guys are just are like next level physically imposing. And I do know that Hakeem got the better of Shaq. Young Shaq.
But, like, I mean, if you put prime, both guys go prime head-to-head. I mean, Shaq is more dominant, by the way. But I think Hakeem can slow him down a little bit.
This is also, by the way, in their prime.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I still think Hakeem in his prime might make life miserable. Same with Kareem. Like, Kareem was so tall. Like, Kareem was, like, what, 7'3"?
Was he that tall?
He was over seven feet tall.
Yeah, but we talk about how difficult it was to defend Shaq.
7'2", yeah.
But yeah, Kareem, a 7'2" in the sky hook, like, you're not defending that either.
No. And same with Hakeem, man. Hakeem's turnaround, little baby hook, and those, like, moves in the low post he made, like, he had great feet. I mean, his feet were incredible.
Right. And, you would need Duncan to defend in the post more than Shaq.
Man.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a tough one, man. Like, it's a tough one.
I don't know. I think I'm still voting new school, but yeah, I'd have a tendency to do that. I'm getting stuck on the 3-point thing. That's just so big to me because those guys literally did not shoot threes, and we like remember them shooting threes, but they didn't.
But are they capable of, right? Like, I feel Larry Bird is capable.
Larry could, and
spacing the floor, right?
And Magic towards the end of his career was taking a few, and he was nailing like 35% or whatever. And it's not like, you know, like I said, Wade, LeBron, and Kobe are like average 3-point shooters, right? They're not prolific.
That's why Steph would be the better selection,
yes.
Right?
Or Dirk even.
And that's a tough one with eras because you look at, okay, so Satchel Paige, one of the greatest pitchers of all time, right? Just a freak.
Right.
But, like, did Satchel Paige throw 100? No. But is he capable of throwing 100 if you plop him into today? Well, sure, everybody throws 100 today, but he didn't. He didn't throw 100. So Satchel Paige today would probably get hammered.
No, that's true. But I just think with these guys, too, because it's not like these guys are just loading up threes left, right, and center. And those guys, you know, the older guys were so prolific scoring two-pointers and stuff. I just think it wouldn't be as big of an advantage. If they had Steve Nash or if they had Steph instead of Dwayne or somebody, then yes, I'd go there. I mean, Jack in Vancouver chimes in to our Subway text line, and he says, Magic used to play center when Kareem was on the bench or injured. You guys forget that, and why stop at a starting five? Let's add a few on the bench. I would still say the 80s and 90s teams would win, period. That's Jack in Vancouver. I mean, I still think that older team wins, and if you look at the versatility, as we mentioned, like, Magic could play all five positions. That was what was really incredible about Magic. Like, he was ahead of his time.
Yeah, and LeBron can too.
Yeah. No, he can. It's just, but the length is higher there, right? As much as LeBron is the more dominant athlete, he's like, what, 6'7", 6'8"? Like, Magic's like 6'9", 6'10". So, I mean, I think that offsets it a little bit. Like, that length would be hard for LeBron to get through all the time.
It's Andrew Walker. It is Satyar Shah and Bick Nizar. Are we ready for our daily check-in? I think it's time to... Okay, we're going to check in on one of our coworkers because we are good that way. We're good at checking in. And also, 650-650 is the Subway text line. And we're going to do our shout-outs. That's coming up, honoring frontline workers before the top of the hour at 7 p.m. We're going to do that. And the isolation mailbag is coming up in the 6 o'clock hour as well. It's one of our favorite segments that we do. Get your questions in, sports. Non-sports, make them as ridiculous as you want, and we'll do our best to answer them. All right, so let me know when we're ready to check in, and we'll do it. By the way, we should mention that. Remember how on was it Monday that we were encouraging people to go check out Alex Auld and his wife Melanie, their jewelry business, Melanie All Jewelry. And that day, on Monday, all proceeds, 100% of proceeds, were going towards fundraising to help our frontline healthcare workers. It was just a great initiative by them. And Alex just sent us a text. On that day, $17,000 on Monday was raised towards personal protective equipment for our local healthcare heroes. So nice job from Alex and Melanie Ald. All right, wow. Let's get ready to check in. Let's do it.
I'm checking in.
He's checking in.
I'm checking in.
Checking in.
I'm checking in.
We take a few minutes every day on the show to check in with one of our coworkers. Maybe sometimes it's like we check in with John Shorthouse, we checked in with Batch and Hershey, but one of the voices that you hear once in a while on our station, and he is also the producer of the Scott Rintoul Show, is Jamie Dodd, the venerable Jamie Dodd. We're checking in with him, who lives kind of in my neck of the woods here in Mount Pleasant. How are you doing? How you doing, Dodd?
I'm doing well. Venerable. That's quite the title. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm very, I don't know, I'm very tired.
Walker is very tired. He's had a very long week. It feels like a long time. He's already shaved half his head off by mistake. So you have to excuse him for not being himself right now, Jamie.
See, I've gone the other way. I'm growing like a pathetic pandemic beard. I haven't shaved in 3 weeks. I'm not going to cut my hair. I'm going to let it all go for as long as this goes.
Well, it's going to look pretty good, I bet you. I mean, I'm growing my hair too. I have no choice. It's going to grow. Great. And I think one of the things about Jamie that Andrew kind of left out, Jamie is probably low-key the smartest guy in our building.
Like, or the dumbest.
No, I think man, he is the smartest guy in the building.
Quit,
I mean, this guy was a lawyer,
and then he decided to give it up to go do sports. Yeah, that makes him the dumbest, not the smartest. He was a lawyer. He graduated law school and then quit to produce Scott Rintoul's show. That makes him the dumbest.
He had life figured out way ahead of us. Like, he's smarter than we are. He realized it can't just be about money. It can't just be about chasing this good job that pays you. There has to be the family life. There has to be the passion you go after. I mean, not only is he emotionally smart, he's also actually smart. I mean, he's smart in so many different ways. That is why Jamie Dodd, low-key, is smartest guy in our building.
Right. Well, even fat trying to, like, make it sound good, I was like, ooh, that sounds bad. Like, it can't just be about having a job that pays well.
it can't be about making a difference. It's not about career accomplishments. It's not about money. It's not about any of those things. It's about liking sports. Yeah, congratulations, Jamie.
It's about having fun talking to your friends about sports. That's really
yes,
what
exactly.
life's all about.
And, you found true enlightenment. That's why
absolutely.
You're smart. Like, you see, you can't let, like, you know, pheasants like Walker talk you into
pheasants?
Being about money.
What, I'm a bird? You mean peasant?
No, pheasant.
You can't let ruffled grouse like Sat. You can't let you can't let a ptarmigan like Sat talk you into it.
Did you study birds or something, man? Those are deep holes.
One day, go and look at it in Urban Dictionary, and you'll know what I mean.
Oh, sorry, I'm not woke. I'm not lit. But also, yes.
Oh, you're the one who was talking about being a simp the other day.
I'm finna call you out. So Jamie Dodd finna work in sports. And again, it doesn't even matter what we're arguing about, because, like, we're in a global pandemic, and the first thing to go is sports. So if I needed more ammunition to why Dodd made the wrong choice, there I go. You know,
it's
slowing down law.
Well, I don't know about that, actually. people can't go to the courts anymore right now, right? Like, some law is slowing down. But that's beside the point, because you're right. I would be much more financially secure if I was still a lawyer.
we're just joking. We like having you on board. How's the Scott Rintoul Show going? What's been like with everything going on?
Yeah, it's been pretty good. I mean, we're doing the producing, you know, broadcasting from home, just like everyone else at the station. So I got a little home studio set up in the bedroom here and making that work, and it's been pretty all right. I've been, you know, not just with our show, but with your guys' show and everyone on the station, I've been impressed with not just the technical quality with us all working from home, but the shows are all funny, they're still entertaining, we're finding things to talk about without you know, beating too many dead horses over and over. So yeah, it's going well.
Feeding fed horses is the problem.
Dead horses.
Yeah.
Feeding fed horses. Yeah, yeah. That's the ever since Walker decided to think about the feasibility of perhaps considering buying a dog, he's really taken up to PETA as well. So it's no longer any of those nasty words we would use.
It's not.
We would have to say it's like feeding a fed. You know, feeding a.
It's not,
dog.
You guys have
a whole other lingo on the program: pheasant and feeding a fed horse. And
yeah, it's not. Killing.
We're very woke. We're very woke on this show.
It's not killing two birds with one stone. It's feeding two birds with one scone. That's how.
With one scone?
I'll make a note of that.
Yeah. That's the language that PETA would have us use. From your perspective, do you want to keep talking about life, or do you want a sports question? You didn't get out a lot to talk about life. You got a lot to talk about sports.
I spend most of my time trying to avoid talking about life. So let's do some sports.
What is the most unvalidating aspect of the Canucks season as it comes to an end and the story is just over?
What do you mean unvalidating? Like unfulfilling?
Yes.
It's got to be the playoff race, right? I mean, we were just going into this is what we've been waiting for. They're actually in a playoff race. They have a legitimate chance to make it. They're playing these divisional rivals down the stretch. It's going to be so great. And it was just taken away, and it's taken away so suddenly. Really just, you know, I believe it was a Thursday they ended up canceling the season, Wednesday when Rudy Gobert got sick. But if you had asked me on Monday or Tuesday, it wasn't even in the realm of possibility for me. And then it just happened like that. And, you know, I have, like a lot of people, I have the Canucks schedule in my calendar, and so the games keep popping up every night at 7 o'clock. Like, oh, they're scheduled to play Arizona tonight, and it's always a bummer. And then, yeah, tomorrow is going to be the final game of the season, and we'd be into the playoffs. So for me, it's just we were robbed of that excitement that we've been waiting for so long in this market.
He is Jamie Dodd. We're checking in with him. He's the producer of the Scott Rintoul Show and all-around good guy at Sportsnet 650. Sats, by the way, you should fill in on this. Sats sent me the quote from Urban Dictionary, which, of course, is the official arbiter of language. A pheasant is, number one, either a large bird with a rounded body and long tail, which spends a lot of time on the ground, is often shot for sport and food, or number two, a moron or F-head. So it's apparently both, which is news to me.
Or F-head.
Yeah.
I love the last thing here. It's like, don't act like a pheasant or you're going to get seriously effed up.
Wow.
Well, you got to be able to use it in a sentence.
Yeah, that's true. You learn something new every day. Hey, take care, Dodd. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, thanks for checking in, guys. Keep doing your thing.
Yeah, we're nice guys, so we do that. Jamie Dodd.
Just imagine the pheasants who get run up to get done dumb.
What? All right. Oh, gosh. You know, finna go to commercial here. All right. Andrew Walker, Sat Shaw. We'll be back with the Isolation Mailbag next. Sportsnet 650.
This is the program with Andrew Walker and Satyar Shah.
It is 6:03, hour number three of the program. On your Friday, Andrew Walker, Satyar Shah, Bick Nizar with us as well, our producer, and Justin Morissette back at Sportsnet 650. The daily Isolation Mailbag is coming up in a few minutes. Get your questions in, 650, 650. Ask us anything, sports, non-sports, love, life, anything ridiculous, we'll do our best to answer them. We thank you, by the way, for listening and for continuing to send in those texts. The texts have really, I think, made the show over the last couple of weeks, and people are digging the mailbag. Always some excellent questions that get sent in. 650, 650, the Subway text line. Don't forget as well to get your shout-outs in before we wrap the show at 7 p.m. We'll shout out to anyone that you think needs recognition. Give us their name. Give us a little bit of their story. Leading into the top of the hour, we'll make sure we give our frontline healthcare workers some love, or people that are kind of performing essential services in our community right now. Andrew Walker, Sat Shaw, as mentioned, I saw Grange, Michael Grange, kind of link to this study on Twitter earlier, and it resonated with me. Have you noticed that through this whole thing, Sat, have your dreams been messed up?
Yes, they have.
It is a very common thing for whatever reason, any stress or you're in a situation, not even necessarily stressed out, but you're just not used to it. A lot of that, apparently, reading this study, is kind of manifested when you go to sleep. And I've been noticing that too. Over the last few weeks, my dreams have been not nightmares, but they've been vivid. They've been all over the place, and they've been very like I'll wake up and I'll be thinking about what I dreamt about. That doesn't happen very often, but it's happening with regularity right now.
Dude, same thing to me. Like every other night, I wake up in the middle of the night because of the dream I'm having, and I can't remember half the time what it was. But like, you know, my heart's racing to some degree, or it's some really weird situation that I find myself in, and like it's true. Like I can relate to this. Even last night, I woke up, I think it was like at 4 a.m. or something, and it was a weird dream. I can't remember what it was, and then it took me like 2 hours to fall back asleep again.
Yeah, no, they've been my dreams have been all over the place. How about you, Bick?
Yes. I have a lot of struggles trying to remember my dreams at times, but definitely, you know, similar to Sat, where I wake up and you look at the clock, you're like, oh man, it's 3:30 or whatever time it is, and it's tough to find that, you know, nice cushion where you're back. REM sleep.
Yeah.
REM sleep, yes. It's hard to find, man. Getting sleep, like, I stay in bed for like 9 hours every night or every, you know, overnight, but like I might sleep like 6 or 7 hours. If that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, I think that's another thing too. A lot of people are doing that whole 5 a.m. to 2 p.m. sleep rating.
Yes, seriously. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I thought that was interesting because I have definitely been noticing some crazy dreams in my life right now.
Tell us about a dream? Do you seem to remember? You keep saying crazy dreams. Is this something you can share?
Well, the one that came to mind. It's not that crazy. It's just it was just vivid. One of the people we work with actually. Lena was in that we work with was in one of my dreams, and I
really?
Basically yes. So I was walking down the street to get this. Is what happened? I was walking down the street to get coffee, and I noticed a fitness place or whatever, some sort of gym. This whole group of people exited to go on like this group run, and among them was Lena, who works with us at Sportsnet 650, and she was pretending to run with them. But instead of joining, and it was like very like over the top acting, like high steps, like, oh, I'm right behind you. She went across the road to a coffee shop, got cake, and sat down in the corner. And that happened to be the coffee shop that I was going to. And so, yeah, wasn't that exciting. And I didn't know whether to like embarrass her in the coffee shop by saying, I see you're skipping out on your workout eating cake. And that's when I woke up. So
what? So. In your dream, she just ditched out of the run to go and have coffee, or did she pull a Rosie Perez? Yeah, Rosie Ruiz, right? Like the
right.
Did she like try to cheat and like go to the finish line? Like, hey, I won in record time.
It wasn't a race. It was like a group run, and she pretended like she was going on the run, and then she went to go eat cake instead.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, fair enough.
Sure. But I mean, I no rhyme or reason. That's just what was in my dream. I'll let you know when you guys are in it. All right. Let's get to the...
I don't know if this is the right term, but that was a very simp dream. Like, I'm not too sure what to make of that.
I can't control what I dream about or who's in the dream or what they're doing. There's no simp tendencies in dreams. Absolutely not. With that, let's get to the Daily Isolation mailbag. Bick has all the suggestions at 650-650. The Subway text line still open if you want to get your suggestion in. Let's do it.
There we are. Kyle, 650-650, if you had to change your name, what would your new name be and why would you choose that name?
Muhammad.
Thanks, McLovin.
Most common name in the world. Most pick up a book. It's the most common name in the world. When I was a kid, I always wanted to be named Brett.
Brett.
I don't know why. I just thought Brett.
Was it because of Brett Hitman Hart or something?
No,
or like Brett Hall.
No, I didn't watch wrestling. I don't know. I wanted to be Brett. I knew a neighbor kid. His name was Brett, and he was cool. And I wanted to be. Yeah. So I don't know. I just wanted to be Brett. So that's what I changed my name to. I'd sound like a cowboy. Like I'd sound like a rodeo star if my name was Brett Walker. Brett Walker from Highland, Wyoming, or something.
Oh,
like
yeah, that's yeah. You're definitely on the circuit.
You'd always be chewing straw.
I'm not a cow. I don't chew straw. You know nothing about our culture.
I would go with Robert. Very versatile name. Because
Robert?
Like, you can go with Bob. You can go with Rob. You can go with Robert. You can go with Bobby. Very versatile name.
You know, Dick is short for Robert, right?
Or isn't it Richard?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Richard. Never mind.
Good job.
I'd still
Who doesn't know?
I'd still call him Dick. Hey, Tricky Dick. You're like, that's for Richard, not Robert.
Which, by the way, I always feel bad for Richard Pound.
Dick Pound?
Yeah, because he's like never in the news until he's in the news. And everybody just like throws his name in headlines. And it's just like, yes, this is a great opportunity to like get clicks because this is hilarious.
Everybody does the puns, right? The Dick Pound, Dick Pound puns. Yeah, they always come out.
I think we need to evolve. We need to start calling him like Richard Ram or something. Like we need to pun the back end of his name, not the front end.
Richard Ram.
Yeah, it's not a great. Not a great name. Like I mentioned.
Sorry,
go
ahead.
I mentioned a while ago. This is the second reference in the last couple weeks, but noted crooner Engelbert Humperdinck changed his name to Engelbert Humperdinck. It's true. Facts only.
Jane 650. What problem or situation did TV and movies make you think would be common, but when you grew up, you found out it wasn't?
Ooh.
Boy, that's a good question. I'm trying to think of like.
I really thought quicksand would be a bigger problem in my life.
Oh yeah, based on the cartoons, you always
read quicksand. I thought quicksand was like, man, I don't know how there's so many people around. How have you guys not succumbed to quicksand?
That's true. Quicksand is a big time plot in pretty much every movie.
Yeah, or like police. Like I thought I'd be involved in at least one police chase, given like how often that happens in movies. But like that never happens. As soon as the lights go on, you're like, oh, I'm pulling over. Like you're like, please.
It was just a loaf of bread.
That's a great question. I get, you know what? If I worked in, maybe this does happen. I don't know. I've never worked in like at a gas station or any type of. If I worked in a bank, I would always assume that a masked gunman is coming in with like a big sack with a dollar sign on it and like being like, fill that up and like, don't hit the alarm, which I'm sure probably isn't a real thing. Maybe it is. Do banks get robbed?
They do, but not very often.
And not like that. Not like a guy with a ski mask being like,
no,
fill her up. Non-sequential, unserial marked bills.
Well, it's like that great movie, Inside Man. You know, that's a pretty chill bank robbery.
Right, he just sticks inside the walls for 10 years.
Josh, 650.
Sorry,
what
spoiler alert.
Quote or saying do people spout but is complete BS? You know, we were talking about this recently about like sports phrases they get used to frequently.
Right.
Well, yeah, we didn't even do that. We can do that next week.
Well, you mean that people use incorrectly or that don't make sense?
Just well, whatever. I mean, we can just do the sports one right now.
Okay, so one of them, yeah, in terms of, like, you don't, like, that doesn't mean what you think it means. People are like, it's like the revenge narrative, and they're like, an eye for an eye. And, like, that's not really what it means. It's actually, like, that phrase is actually derived from, like, you know, like very, very peaceful. Like, an eye for an eye, and the whole world goes blind. And people are like, take it for their, they misuse
it. Yeah, they misuse eye for an eye. It says eye for an eye. It's like, no. You got to say the rest of it.
Oh, one that people get wrong a lot is the quarter pool.
Yes.
Oh, yes, definitely. The quarter pole. Oh.
That one. Well, and one people get wrong a lot is people say chomping at the bit. Champing at the bit. But it's like, you know, Billions is a weird show and it's okay, but there's actually a pretty good scene about that whole phrase. And if you actually say it right, you come off as being more pretentious. So if you want to, you know, come off as an everyday person, you got to say it wrong.
I remember, I think we've talked about this before, but doing junior hockey interviews, a lot of players, because they read it, will say, our D corps. And you're like,
yes.
Core.
Oh,
he's
no.
Not, core. He's not, core. Yeah, he's they're, not, not, they're alive. D-core. They're alive.
Yeah, they're not dead. They're not zombies, although that would be a pretty good defense.
Yeah, and the whole notion of give 110%, that's not possible. You can't give over 100%. Like, it's 100%.
Yeah, I think that's the point of the phrase. I think people are using it correctly.
But they're using it incorrectly, though. Like, that's... You can give 110%. Yeah. Like, just say you're going to give everything you have.
A lot of people say colonel, which is not... It's not colonel, it's...
Colonel? No, it's not. Isn't it? No, he's not colonizing. Well,
I got served up pretty good in my first radio job when I said lieutenant for lieutenant.
Oh, and yeah, I still get that confused.
Yeah. You got to call it lieutenant. I was like, excuse me, come again?
Lieutenant? I don't see an F or a T. I don't see an F here. Where's the F?
Scott, 650. What was the first car you drove?
Oh, man.
Drove? Or owned,
whatever.
Drove, okay.
Yeah. Your first car.
My first car I drove was a New Yorker, 1989 Chrysler New Yorker. Car I owned
was a
97 Honda SI. It was lowered, and it was a manual stick shift, and it had, like, the Euro lights on it and the muffler. It was straight out of, like, Fast and Furious.
Like the guy with the trumpet out the back?
Oh, it was cool.
Of course you were. My first, and you know what, whatever, that's stereotypical. Mine is even more, growing up in small town Saskatchewan. My first car was
a John Deere?
No, was it a Ford Ranger?
It was a 1981 Camaro Z28. Oh, yeah, man.
You simp.
No, that doesn't make me a simp. Go look it up. 81 Camaro Z28. That thing hauled.
What about you, Bick? Was it a Toyota Tercel?
No, my first car was a 91 Honda Civic.
Oh, yeah.
Just like white body paint. You've definitely seen it thousands of times. Car I owned was an 03 Mazda Protege.
Wow.
03
guys...
Mazda Protege. They stopped making those, too, after a while.
Did you guys go drag together on the weekends? I'm actually curious, J-Mo. Justin, I picture you as the guy that was, like, in high school, you were kind of, you wanted to be different, and so, like, you got an old hearse, and that's what you drove around.
My first car was a smart car, actually.
Wow. That's not a hearse. Well, it is in a
I was going to be like...
Yeah, that's a sim move. A smart car? How did that happen?
I was like, he's going to say something like a Honda Del Sol or something.
I didn't start driving until I think I was 18, so after high school, and was, you know, easy on gas. It was a diesel. It was extremely loud because diesel engines are just the loudest things you've ever heard in your life. But yeah, that's how that happened.
Wow, interesting. So no hearse.
No, unfortunately, I would have loved to have like the Ghostbusters ambulance hearse. But,
the Ecto-1.
No dice. Yeah.
Gurdeep, thanks for always reading my questions. I'll try to make them good. What's a movie that people say isn't good that you like? Not Apocalypto.
Right. Which is, oh yeah, it's always my go-to. Okay, so I actually heard Randeep and Riccio, they were talking about, that's their whole show now, movies. But they were talking about M. Night Shyamalan, I think, and yeah. They were like Signs and The Sixth Sense are the only good ones. And I actually really, really, really liked The Village quite a bit.
Only movie I've ever left.
I didn't leave, but it was. I mean,
I liked The Village, and then I rewatched it, and I liked it again.
Like, it had me.
This is the worst take. I can't believe I'm saying
that. So some movies.
The Happening was better.
No, it definitely was not. Some
The Mist was better.
I like The Mist.
I like The Mist too.
Some movies, like what was the? There was a movie a while back. Okay, now I'm getting sidetracked. Anyway, so sometimes if you like can predict a show, it takes like you're like I kind of see this coming, and it kind of takes away. So whatever, call me dumb. Maybe I was in a weird mood, but when I watched The Village, every little plot twist they threw in that to some would have been obvious, every time I was like bashed over the head. I was like, what? And it had me, and then I completely believed it was real, then I completely believed it was fake. It sent me on a thrill ride, I'm telling you. I love The Village. It was terrific.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. Like I actually think Alien vs. Predator was okay.
It's fair. Hey, that's the category. It's fair. I also liked one of my favorite movies is Stealing Harvard, which is objectively not that good, but the first time I watched it, I was in high school with my buddies, and we were under a certain influence, so it was very funny to us, and the humor has stayed. The humor has stayed with it. So
you mentioned The Mist, Bick, another Stephen King movie I liked, but which was universally panned, was Dreamcatcher.
Oh, Dreamcatcher! Oh, who
was that? Morgan Freeman?
Yeah.
What's that one about?
Catching dreams. Sure.
No, well, it's like it's essentially about an alien.
Right. I gotta rewatch that. I'm sure it's on none of the streaming services.
Yeah, Donnie Wahlberg was in it, so you know it was gonna be great.
Damian Lewis from Billions.
Wow.
Yes.
JMO, you're a movie guy. What objectively terrible movie actually do you have time for?
I got three answers for this. John Carter, the Disney movie from 10 years ago about Taylor Kitsch from Friday Night Lights on Mars. I really enjoyed that movie a lot. That got thrashed.
Right to the Tri-City, Taylor Kitsch.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's...
You can find that on Disney Plus if you're so inclined. I am not. I also enjoyed Ang Lee's Hulk, which gets thrashed quite a bit. I watched that, in fact, a couple months ago.
Do you have any?
That's the Ed Norton one.
The one with Eric Bana, actually, from 2003.
Oh, Eric Bana.
Do you have any movies that aren't cartoons?
Speed Racer was going to be my third one here. The Wachowskis' Speed Racer, I think, is fantastic.
I'm gonna throw out a movie that is objectively terrible, and I also think is terrible. I don't enjoy it at all because I can never remember that. I can never forget this stupid scene. It was Speed 2, where they're on the cruise ship.
Cruise control.
Speed 2, and I'll never forget this one stupid scene. It drove me crazy. And like the bomber, or whoever the bad guy is, his luggage is golf clubs. And he hides all his explosive in the golf clubs, I think. And so whoever the hero is, like, figures him out. He's sitting at this bar. And he's like, hey, he's like, that guy. He's like, he brought golf clubs. And number one, all the golf clubs were drivers. He had, like, 18 drivers in his bag. And then he's like, hey, that guy brought on golf clubs for his luggage. And, like, so what? He's like, he hasn't even watched this golf game on TV once. And the guy's, like, not watching golf on TV. And that's how they catch him. Oh, just ridiculous. So bad.
That's about as lame as it gets. Yeah.
My favorite bad movie is actually The Goods with Jeremy Piven as, like, the car dealership guy.
All right. Yeah.
It's so bad, but there's so many good one-liners in there that it makes it worth watching.
Well, I mean, it's like my favorite bad show is like Entourage, right? Because of Jeremy Piven, right. Essentially. And the first couple seasons were really good. But then you're just watching it because you're hoping for, a moment of gold from Jeremy Piven.
So much time invested also.
Yes, that too.
All right. Tim, 650, how do you take your coffee?
Oh, black. But like... I'm passionate about it. Even if someone's very nice and's like, hey, I stopped to get you a coffee, and if there's sugar and cream in it, I can't drink it. I give it away.
Yeah, I'm usually a black coffee guy, but now I take a dash of lactose-free milk, just so it's not completely black coffee.
I'm switching to cappuccinos recently, so that's
cappuccinos. Wow, look at you!
I'm all about that ice.
Iced coffee.
It's the best.
You drink that in your smart car?
Brittany, 650. Would you rather? Would you rather have all traffic lights you approach be green or never have to stand in line again?
Well, with the whole COVID nonsense, I'm not standing in lines again. I'll gladly take that, man.
Yeah, same.
In general, though, if all things being normal.
No, honestly, like nowadays, I'll have more time for red lights. At least you're in the safety of your car. You listen to something. You kind of cruise. It'll take some time. I'll avoid lineups.
Oh, unanimous sweep. Sat's well aware of my lineup policy. I won't wait in line for anything.
Yeah, same. Pretty much same for me. More or less. Depends on very few things.
Yeah, if that's a good point. Like, you'll wait in line if the line is moving because of backlog of people, but you're not going to wait for something to open or wait for to buy tickets or wait to get...
I'm not doing the movie thing ever again. Yeah. Like, you know, hey, the movie came out today, so I'm going to line up for 2 hours to go watch this movie. It's like,
I'm never standing in line, like, at a club again. Like, no.
Oh, never.
No.
Last one. Jason, 650. What's your favorite Olympic sport to watch?
So apart from, like, the obvious hockey or whatever, I would assume... every 4 years, I won't even call it a guilty pleasure, but I love speed skating.
Yeah, that's good. Speed skating is good.
Yeah, short track or long track. I love that you're chasing the time. I like that we're good at it as a country. All of that stuff. I love that there's heats and you advance. I love speed skating.
Yeah, I still go with the 100 meters because that's, to me, is still like the pinnacle of Olympic sports. Like, if you had to choose the one sport outside of, you know, typical hockey and all these sort of things, the sports you love, but like the one thing that defines the Olympics, to me, that's the 100 meters. So I go with that.
Right. And steeplechase, of course.
I'm a big fan of handball.
Handball?
It's so good.
It is good. It's a good sport. Underrated sport.
I've wanted to buy the game on Xbox. Like, the last handball game that's come out is like 2016. It's the same price. It's still like $80. It's like, well, the rosters haven't been updated. You guys have to like mark that down a bit. I've been
Olympic
waiting
sport.
To buy that, but like, you know, like every 4 years, I get psyched for handball.
There was a handball game for Game Boy Advance in the mid 2000s that was just outstanding.
Real ones, no.
I'm going with Snowboard Cross. I got hooked on that in 2010.
Yeah.
Snowboard racing, Mile Ricker.
That's a good one, too. And it helps that we're good at it. Like, our country has competitors, right? Like, if everyone in the finals, like, Swiss, I don't watch it with the same passion, but because I'm a xenophobe, obviously. All right.
Clearly.
Clearly. Andrew Walker, is that it? Is that the daily
good.
Mailbag? Okay. 650-650, if you want to get your questions in, we'll do it again Monday. Also, programming note, is that for public consumption for Monday, by the way?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so Monday, we're switching things up a little bit on Sportsnet 650, and from 4 to 7 p.m., we're our time slot. We're going to be running some classic games, and so everyone kind of moves around a little bit, so our show will still be on in its entirety, 3 hours, but we are taking over for the next couple of weeks the 1 to 4 time slot. You can still hear Reach Deep and their awful password segment. It'll just go a little earlier, I believe from...
From 11
to 1, and then we'll take over from 1 to 4, and then classic games in the late afternoon, 4 to 7. So that's beginning on Monday for the next couple of weeks. 650-650 is the Subway text line. If you want to get in your nominations for our shout-out segment, that's coming up. We're also going to hear from Dan Murphy from Sportsnet when we come back. Sportsnet 650.
Welcome to the program with Andrew Walker and Satyar Shah.
TGIF.
Have you seen that the TikTok video making the rounds to this song?
Where everyone does the dance?
Yeah.
It starts with the dab and then other things, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Especially the one with the two kids, the two older sons and their dad.
I don't even have TikTok, and I've seen that one.
I think I've seen that 100 times.
But everybody tweets that ish out nowadays.
Why don't you get TikTok, Sat? Why don't you do that?
I'm not creative enough to create all that stuff.
Well, just recreate it. You do it with your dad. I've met your dad. Know. That would go viral. He'd be good.
Knowing my family and our propensity to get injured, that's just begging for a disaster.
Yeah, your last name is Magoo. That's pretty
much, yeah, pretty much, more or less.
Satyar Magoo. Yeah. It's Andrew Walker, Satyar Shah. It is the program Sports and 650. We're going to hear from Dan Murphy from Sportsnet in just a couple of minutes. And then we're going to get to our shout-outs as well, honoring frontline workers in our city. If you want to give us a text, give us a name, a little bit of their story, why you're shouting it out, 650, 650 is the Subway text line. That's coming up in just a few minutes. Rivers, I'm just checking the text line now. Rivers in Nanaimo says that dad dancing TikTok is a bright light in a dark night. It's automatic smile like Burroughs and the Twins. It's true. I watched a lot. I also watched your video today. Well, it wasn't your video, but I know you commented on it, of someone attaching like 25 helium balloons to their dog, and it like lifts their dog 6 feet out of the ground.
Actually, I'm like, I don't know if that's awesome or if that's like cruelty to animals. It's like that fine line between really creative and cute and funny, and like, what are you doing to this poor dog?
No, the dog is confused, but he doesn't hate it. Yeah. But I would do the same thing. To answer Bick's question,
glasses on.
To answer Bick's question, earlier when we did the mailbag, he said, "What like kind of like real life problem? It was on movies or TV that you actually thought would be an issue." Definitely helium. Like, definitely being carried away by helium balloons was one of them.
Yeah. Just there's a movie on Amazon Prime called Aeronauts, and it's about, like, you know, the whole hot air balloon era of travel and flight.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I know a lot of people take those, like, buy those rides, and I don't know if I would. I don't know if I'm a big fan of going in a hot air balloon.
No, I mean, do you have a parachute with you? See, if you can like jump out of it and deploy your chute, then I would be far more willing to get on a hot air balloon. But if I don't have the safety net of having a parachute, then I'm like, no, I'm good. There's no way I get into one of those things.
See,
like, what if
always...
what if like a bird like goes right into it and it explodes? Like, I'm not even sure that's possible, but
These
are the things I think about nowadays.
Yeah, and I've always thought about that too. Like, it's one of the reasons I won't go skydiving, and even that, because I know if someone's parachute is going to open like Bugs Bunny and it's just like forks and knives in it, it's mine. Like an anvil flies out. I'm like, oh, I knew it. So this is a weird question too on the subject of hot air balloons. So when I was a kid, I remember there being days where all of a sudden there was like 5 or 10 hot air balloons up in the sky over the city, and like Remax. Do they still do that? Is that still a thing?
I mean, they have the blips now, right? Like, they have those things in front of big sporting events. I can't remember the last time I saw one in Vancouver. Like, you might see like the planes with the banners in the summer, but that's pretty much it.
Right. I don't remember the last time I saw an advertising hot air balloon. We should.
Last time I seen it was on TV, probably. Yeah.
We need to talk to CMAC and get a Sportsnet 650 hot air balloon. I'm sure we have the budget right now for it. That's what we need to do.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to be investing money on one of us, the idiots working at 650, getting on a hot air balloon and doing the show live. I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
Okay, how much would it cost? How much would it cost? Like, give me a figure for one day or one weekend in the summer to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, to have 8 hot air balloons. And on the hot air balloons, big, giant, like huge faces of James Cebulski, Perry Solkowski, Scott Rintoul, Bick Nizar, myself, you, and Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda. So hot air balloons all weekend, just flying everywhere with the Sportsnet 650 logo, lower mainland, over the city, you know, everywhere. And just having everyone talk about it for one whole weekend. How much would that cost?
That costs at least $100,000.
Oh, like at least.
At least a couple hundred grand. What would be the scariest thing? Like, you're living in a high rise in downtown, and all of a sudden you look out your window and you see one of the faces not too far away from you. Like, which face would scare people the most?
Rintoul.
Rintoul, you think so?
No, 100%. Poor Scotty.
Have you met me? Come on,
guys. No, they'd Bick be like,
terrifying.
They'd be like, wow, why are the Brooklyn Nets advertising and playing preseason here? So you think a couple hundred grand, and that includes like the custom paint jobs of the faces, because that won't be cheap either.
No, that's going to be the thing that costs them. I mean, I think we're underestimating the cost for this thing. Like, it's probably at least $500,000.
Bick, how much do you think it is? Is it like $500,000 or $200,000?
I feel like it's close to $500,000.
What about for one day? Forget the weekend, just one day. Like a Saturday. 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. 8 hot air balloons. Okay, you know what? We'll go 4 hot air balloons. We'll put the shows together. So you can be with Scott and Perry and James and Randeep and Dan and then Sat and I. So 4 hot air balloons for one day.
Like 100 grand per balloon. So
yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
100 grand per balloon?
That's what I'm thinking, man. Those things are not cheap.
And they're massive.
And you gotta have an operator, too.
Seems like a lot. Well, yeah, I'll give them $50. Big deal. Okay, so here's the thing. So here's my dilemma now. If I win the 50-50, and we'll give it another mention here. So starting tomorrow, the Vancouver Canucks, they're bringing back the 50-50 because Fan Appreciation Night was supposed to go tomorrow, and also tomorrow, by the way, guys, was the last day of the NHL season for the Vancouver Canucks. Tomorrow might have been the win to get in playoff game against Vegas. We'll see. But
man, we're already there, hey? Yeah, like, could you imagine there. How much fun that'd be so right fun. Now?
But in the spirit of Fan Appreciation Night, Vancouver Canucks, they're bringing back the 50-50. It's the COVID-19 50-50 relief raffle. It opens up tomorrow. It runs through next Saturday at 9 p.m., so plenty of chances to buy your tickets online, Canucks.com. And it includes $40,000 right off the top from unclaimed jackpots from this year's season. And so, like, let's say it's 500 grand, all right? Like, let's say that's what you win. Let's say I win it. Would I be criticized for doing the hot air balloon thing instead of donating to charity?
Probably yes. I think you would take a lot of flack for that. But you know, the sell is you're propping up the hot air balloon industry that right now are not getting any run because of what's going on.
Oh yeah,
that you are essentially saving an industry. How many people can say they're saving an industry? You might be saving the hot air balloon aeronautical industry.
Yeah, it's a really tough time right now for our hot air balloon pilots. It's true. They've been completely grounded. They've been completely grounded, and I don't know.
They
got
to eat too.
I don't know if a government bailout is coming. All right, let's get to Dan Murphy from Sportsnet, who joined us earlier on in the show and was the kind of the subject of he wasn't the subject, but we discussed the whole what if scenario of Roberto Luongo. We'll listen to this for a few minutes.
I'm good, fellas. How are you guys doing today?
We're okay, I guess. It's Friday. Fridays have lost their excitement, I think, but that's a small price to pay.
Well, I mean, there has to be some excitement that you're not working the next couple of days, no? That you get to sit at home and self-isolate and quarantine, you know?
Work is kind of, but we like each other. It's not like guys like you at work. Like, we kind of like the guys we work with. We have a pretty good rapport with each other, so we enjoy it.
Speak for yourself.
You know, yeah, you know, I still get a lot. I don't miss them yet, but you know what? I look forward to seeing Shorthouse and Garrett again sometime soon.
Did you hear Garrett with Reach Deep?
I did not, and I'm worried what happened.
Well, they were talking to him about food, of course, and of course. He said he does. They're like, you love ketchup, so you must love ketchup chips. And he says he doesn't. But what he does do? Do you know what he does?
Just dips Lay's in ketchup?
Yeah, he takes salt and vinegar chips and dips them in ketchup. Like, what kind of a monster is this guy?
Really, when you think about it, that's small potatoes to dipping, like, good, you know, pizza from an Italian restaurant in ketchup. I mean, that's more egregious than, you know, at least chips and ketchup is almost like chips and salsa compared to the other stuff. Like, I have... I'm so used to it now that it really doesn't faze me. But when you really think about it and, you know, what his age is and what he continues to eat, that's what's astounding.
Like, if he ordered, like, a $100, you know, Wagyu steak, would he dip that in ketchup?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes, and it's got to be cooked well. Like, there's no sense. We used to try to go to, like, one decent dinner on the road. Like Short House, I'll give him that. Short House will go eat a nice steak, or he'll go to nice pasta with some wine and stuff. And you can get cheese to those places as long as they have, like, flatbread or something. But there's no sense going for a nice steak dinner with him, because he's not going to appreciate it. He's gonna actually ruin the steak, and he's not going to be happy. So we've kind of given that up on the road a little bit. But you can find spots where he can still be, you know, he can still look at a kid's menu and get what he wants.
Right.
What is the best meal he has ruined that you've seen?
Well, he's ruined steaks. I mean, there's no question about that. I'm trying to remember. I know that we were somewhere, we met up with a bunch of people, broadcast people, and we went to a restaurant that looked like it could be, like, have options for them, and we didn't look online on the menu. And I remember getting, well, actually, I'll give you the best one. The Canucks had a okay. Thanksgiving Day dinner, okay? We were on the road somewhere, and they were in a hotel, and they invited us, and it had everything. Like, it had turkey, it had some ham, it had all the sidings, like, and it had mashed potatoes, garlic mashed potatoes, you know, charred Brussels sprouts, it had everything. Like, any side you could think of, it had. He took a little bit of turkey and mashed potatoes and ketchup and ate that, and when we ultimately left, he had to go somewhere else and have a burger and fries. So he couldn't even bring himself to eat this. It was really, really good. It was a good meal at a hotel that they put together, like, just for the team. And he had to go elsewhere after. I think Short House went with him, and they went to Five Guys or something like that after, just so he could get something he really wanted in the stomach.
That's it's stuff like that. It's the steak stuff. It's giving me anxiety right now just thinking about someone ruining a really good steak, I'll be honest. Andrew Walker, Satyar Shah, and Dan Murphy from Sportsnet joins us right now. We've been doing these what-if games, inspired by Brian Burke. We want to run something by you right now. I think JMO has the intro. Let's do it.
A lot of things have happened in sports, but what if something else happened? It's the program What Ifs.
So this is kind of Bick Nizar's brainchild, and he's on the group chat. He left again. I don't know what's going on with Bick. So Bick's question today, Murph, is, and this is inspired by kind of a Brian Burke tweet this week. What if Roberto Luongo had actually been traded to the Toronto Maple Leafs in 2012? What the butterfly effect, the dominoes? What comes to mind?
Well, I think if what I heard was right, it was Kadri, Gardner, and two firsts. Is that what Berkey was saying the ask was? And let's not forget that this is the time where the Canucks kind of went in the tank. They got swept that year. Is that right, in the playoffs? Is that 2014?
No, that was 2012, right? So that was after they lost in five games to the Kings.
Yes. So this would have been after that, and right before the real dark period. So I think the move would have been very good for Vancouver at that point. Remember, the Canucks were certainly happy with Corey Schneider, and he still, despite what happened now, he still went on to have a few more elite seasons with Jersey. You get two firsts. Now, maybe the Leafs aren't as bad, because I think they missed the playoffs for a couple years right after that, too. So maybe you aren't getting lottery picks, but maybe you are. Maybe Luongo's not doing it all by himself. Kadri hadn't broken out yet. I don't think that was before the lockout season, right? So I don't think he'd had I think the lockout season might have been his breakout season. I think the trade would have been very, very good for Vancouver, and I think the fans in Vancouver would have been quite happy with it, and that's just what I'm saying. And then those years, the Willie DeJardin years and the Torts year, perhaps you don't have Torts, and maybe you don't have Willie DeJardin. Maybe the Canucks do something in that, and with AV still around, but who knows. As for the Leafs, they would have had the goaltender they needed. Reimer had one good year and then fell off the map. I hate to say the what if is I think the trade might have been decent for both teams, but looking at it now, that would have been a pretty steep price to pay for Toronto, certainly.
That is Dan Murphy from Sportsnet. You can hear the rest of that conversation on the podcast, sportsnet.ca/650. It is 6:51, and before we go for the night, we're creeping up until 7 o'clock. You know what that means, so let's get to our shout-out. 650-650 is the Subway text line.
The 7 o'clock cheer is minutes away, Vancouver. The program recognizes the following heroes in our communities.
All right, so you've been sending in your submissions, and you can next week as well. It is the Sportsnet 650 shout-outs, and the Subway text line is always 650-650. This one comes in from Penelope, guys. Shout-out to my friends, Dennis and Charlene. Dennis is a respiratory therapist, and Charlene is a nurse. Thinking of you guys, thank you for your work.
And this one from Angela to our Subway text line, 650-650. Just want to thank my friend Ryan, who works in media, helping make sure all of us get the news we need right now.
A huge shout-out to the delivery truck as well as the food service delivery people too. Example, Uber Eats and Skip the Dishes. Have a fantastic weekend. Cheers. That from Leslie in Scarborough. And he also says, quick note, I'm actually a dude and not a female. I think I might have said her earlier this week. Thanks, Leslie. Yeah. Listening from Scarborough, Ontario.
And we got one more here. This one from Dave. It says, shout out to my good friend Steve, who works at Save On Food locally here. They don't get enough credit for what they're doing. They are heroes.
There's your shout-outs for this Friday night. We'll leave you there, and we will visit with you on Monday again. You can catch the program, our show, from 1 to 4 p.m. this coming Monday. We're going to be airing some classic games from the 4 to 7 o'clock time slot. Bick Nazar and Satyar Shah, have a great weekend, fellas. We'll be in touch.